about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Suddenly, there's a knock on the door.
Well, now, who could that be? I say, who is it?
No answer.
Who is it?
There's no answer.
Who is it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, let me ask you this. It's a lot of kids. I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you name them all?
All my boys' name is Orlando. One of my boys' name is Tashawn. One of them is Quarlando. Then I got Orlandria, Onisha, Omika. Okay, you get what I'm saying? I can name them. I got Miracle, Tamia, I got Will. I got them everywhere. I got them. Hey, I named them. I named these kids. Me.
Do you see this? Do you see this right here? You know what this is? This is me playing you on the world's biggest cello.
And now,
due to the nature of this program, there may be some strong language. If you are easily offended, please switch off now.
Our feature presentation.
That's a good tip in general for this show.
Okay.
If you're easily offended, switch off. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning.
And there's sound like you were going to say something else, didn't
I? Was. There's a date, but I don't know what it is. Maybe the 6th.
I think it's the 6th, I think.
All right.
There Sounds go. About right.
So, Lisa, what's going on with the road? Where's everybody?
So some guy was running up the 5 freeway and lo and behold, got hit and killed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's in the North 5 at Paramount Boulevard. And last I heard, there was only one lane open, which you may as well not have any lanes open.
Yeah, well, sometimes there aren't.
Yeah.
When somebody dies, there aren't any lanes
right.
open. So.
And so at least another half hour to 45 minutes, at least.
So Dave's asleep in his car right now, right?
Most likely, yeah.
Or trying to find a bottle to pee in. That's what I'd be doing if I was stuck that long.
And Chip is just doing what she's always doing, which is trying to reach the steering wheel.
Correct.
Right.
So she's got that. That's her day.
All right. Well, that's good to know out of the gate. That's what you want first thing, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's start today with, we have an action-packed Kevin DeBean show, but I want to tell you about Mr. Anthony Martin. He is a magician. He's one of these guys who locks himself into things and then gets out of them. He's fascinated with locks and keys. As a little kid, he started doing tricks. He said at 10, he had started to specialize in escapes. By the time he was 13, the sheriff could put him in handcuffs and it was easy for him to get out.
Wow.
He, at 11, jumped from a raft into a lake with his hands cuffed behind his back in a frozen, you know, under the ice.
That's
basically
crazy.
had to get himself out at 11.
He's trying desperately to die.
Yes.
Today is the day of his latest stunt, though. He is going to be thrown out of an airplane. He's going to be skydiving. He'll be thrown out of a plane while he's locked inside a coffin.
What?
Thrown out of a plane, locked right. inside a coffin.
Exactly.
So he's
yes.
in the coffin with a parachute on?
Yes. And he's going to try to get out before he hits the ground.
How much time does he have, Bean?
Let's see. He'll lay inside a plywood box with his hands cuffed to a belt around his waist and his right arm chained to the inside of the box. The casket's door will then be held tight with a prison door lock for which no key exists. A locksmith scrambled the tumblers. The box will be rolled out of the plane at about 14,500 feet. Oh, this is interesting. Two skydivers will stabilize the box by holding handles on the side so that it will be steady for him to pick the locks while he's going down. So it's not going to be tumbling over and over again, I guess.
Yeah.
He expects to be free and tracking away around 7,000 feet after about 40 seconds of free fall is when he plans to be out. He thinks he can get out, in 40 seconds.
40 seconds?
Nothing could go wrong with this.
No. Right?
It's a solid plan.
He was interviewed yesterday and appeared calm, saying his only concerns were for the other people involved in the jump. You try to get to yourself to the point where there's not really a lot of fear involved. Fear is one of the emotions that kind of distracts from your ability to think clearly and be effective. So that's
so
what he's doing.
Falling from a plane, you know, handcuffed. That's ridiculous.
Right. In a coffin.
Do you think those guys that are holding the coffin, like if he doesn't get out in time, they'll activate their chutes and they can hang on to the coffin so he doesn't actually splat?
Great question. Don't know. And I also don't see anything on this article. This guy's in Canada, but I don't see anything here that suggests that it's going to be live on TV. I'm sure, obviously, they'll film something like this. But I was hoping this might be like our buddy who walked across the Grand Canyon. I was hoping we might be able to see this, but
yeah.
I don't see any indication of that.
You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard!
Pretty
so that's
much.
That's what that guy does with his time.
I have no
right?
words.
Right?
I have no words. The guy's going to die. At some point, everybody's going to go, wow, what a hero.
Yeah.
No, he's an idiot. Wow.
That's amazing.
All right.
Keep us up to date, won't you, Bean?
Yes, Bean.
I will. I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Have a special death corner ready to go. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why would anyone put themselves and their loved ones through something like this? I wouldn't pretend to know.
Comedian Ben Glebe on the program, talking about his Hollywood improv shows. We have Jason Biggs.
He's great.
From Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Which is a great show. We have The Bachelorette for it.
Is this the finale?
It is. The Bachelorette finale was last night.
You should be cheering. You should have come in with balloons. Well, this is it.
Right. After the final report, then we'll have
cake?
Balloons. Sure.
Okay.
We also have Nick Newell. And this guy, if you haven't heard of him, is an MMA fighter. And he is in the World Series of Fighting. And one arm. He's got the one arm.
Down a wing.
He's down a wing.
It doesn't seem like maybe that's the easiest occupation for him to get into.
I wouldn't think so
with
either.
With a hand missing.
It's not just the hand. It's the arm.
Oh, I thought he had it down to like his elbow or something.
Oh, maybe, but you can't really throw an elbow strike.
No.
I don't know. Yeah, it's and he wins.
Wow, that's impressive. That's more impressive than falling out of with a coffin.
Can you imagine? Because the person sitting across from him goes, "What? This? I have to win. I have two arms. If I don't win, this is going to be embarrassing." So anyway, we're going to talk to him today. Kanye's trying to buy Graceland. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
And we have some tickets for Kick-Ass 2. Plus, if you missed some of the lies that were told about me in Lollapalooza, we've got some highlights for you just after 6.
You mean when we directly quoted you from your personal texts and tweets? Those are the lies?
Not positive that's what happened, but we'll discuss.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz.
And now, a moment with Bean.
What about Kanye, Kim Kardashian, does Kanye... Let me try that again.
That was a moment with Bean.
That was pretty strong.
You are being challenged, by the way, in 2013.
I know.
This is the year that I'm coming from behind and may overtake you to the finish line when we get to the final end here.
I'm not worried.
Pretty strong. Pretty darn strong.
He's coming from behind again.
Ralph is here, a man who doesn't have nearly enough moments with in the system, and it's time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Hey, Lollapalooza boys, don't come back and spread your AIDS in the office, okay?
What are you talking about?
What are you guys sick?
Who's sick?
Dave's sick, and there's a dog in the other room. Is that Dave, you sick?
Yeah, I think so.
Not my fault.
Of course,
it's your fault.
He's sitting right next to Ralph.
Yes, so. Don't come with your black plague back from Chicago. Leave it there or stay home. You don't look so good either.
I should have stayed home.
Eve W. Ladbett, you don't look good either. So I want you all just to get detoxed and just get one of those clean rooms where they scrub you down with the wire brushes and a hazmat suit, whatever it is you got.
I think we need that. Just
don't bring it around here. Speaking of sick, Elton John in the hospital after an appendectomy. Apparently went under the knife at Monaco's Princess Grace Hospital last Thursday. He is now recuperating at his home in Nice, France. Well, how nice to get your appendix taken out in Monaco and then relax in Nice.
Yeah.
Jeez, crackers. Rich Pretty people. Sweet. Rich people. They have it all.
I'm just jealous he had his appendix taken out. I still have mine.
Jealous
of that? Haven't you lost enough organs? Why don't you just hold on to what you have?
But you're not really, jealous. Is that the right word?
I don't know, just...
Sounds cool to you?
Sounds fun, yeah.
Oh, it's a good time. I've had appendicitis. It's a joy.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
You look back on it like that was a high point.
So good. The dry heaving and the bending over in agony. The pain. It's good times. I hope you get it too, Bean. I wish you that.
Thanks.
Simon Cowell. Very upset. Here's the thing. His former girlfriends, according to Radar Online, Sunita, Jackie St. Clair, and Terry Seymour, they were all concerned when he started hooking up with Lauren Silverman because everyone apparently around Simon knew her intentions.
Ew.
Which leads me to believe that this was not a planned pregnancy.
An unplanned pregnancy?
Yes.
It was planned by her, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oof. Yeah, but this is a conversation they had together. It sounds like he sort of got
Wow.
fooled into this situation. That's bullshit. By all accounts, Simon has every intention of taking care of the baby, but has no intention of marrying this girl, which apparently was what she was aiming for the whole time. So. Ladies. That's no way to trap a man. You know how you trap a man? Go on The Bachelorette! Woo! Last night's finale. Oh, I can't wait to talk about it.
But, I can't wait for that to be over.
But the big news that came out of it, of course, was the announcement of who's going to be the next Bachelor.
Oh, I hope it's Brooks.
No, sadly, Brooks was not chosen. I don't think Brooks has the intestinal fortitude for the process.
It's
I don't
Frank.
Think he enjoyed the process. No, big winner is Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo.
Everyone loves Juan Pablo.
Everyone loves Juan Pablo. I love Juan Pablo. And I don't really care for the Bachelors. I have to suffer through them. But this guy's nice, great sense of humor. Soccer player, Kevin. Professional soccer player.
Yeah. Does that make me want to watch The Bachelorette? No,
apparently sure.
The
Bachelor? Get a woman.
No.
He got dumped pretty early in the season, though, didn't he, Ralph?
Did not get a lot of screen time. Yeah, she just she
Why
liked
didn't Des like him.
She liked him a lot, but just I think he's got a daughter. I don't think maybe Des was going to become an instant.
We have a segment for this where
I'm
we're going
to
discuss
Juan Pablo. He's going to be your Bachelor
That's
in January.
Bullshit.
So everyone,
That's
circle
the best,
your calendar.
The best name since Carlos Danger. I'll tell you that.
It's a good one. And reality television news, it just keeps getting better. It's official now. This has been going around for some time, but NBC officially yesterday named Ryan Seacrest as the host of the Million Second Quiz Game.
Sure.
This is that show where you live in a glass house in Times Square for 12 days and they ask you questions.
Really?
I'm so glad he's hosting this.
It really does sound like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. It's just crap on top of crap. It's a crap Sunday is what it is. With a crappy cherry
You live in
on
a
top.
Glass house.
Yes.
For 12 days.
Right. And we're going to ask you a lot of questions.
And that's a show.
Make you do stuff. That's going to be on television.
Are there competitors? Are there more than one person in there?
I think they cycle them in and out. I'm not quite
what
sure.
What the hell's going sure. on?
It's a lot
apparently,
of work for nothing.
Apparently you make money for every second you're in, like the leader chair or something like that. You're making $10,000 a minute or some crazy amount like that. So.
Yeah.
Question is, you know, how long can you stay up there? Or do you have to be there at the end? I don't know. I have no idea how the rules work. It looks complicated.
Awful. Complicated and awful. A card game called Fizbin. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Randy DeBarge of DeBarge. He's 55 years old.
Will you please stop covering the DeBarges?
I'm just DeBarge.
I know, but unless it's
L.
L.
No, Randy.
Who cares?
Randy's a significant part of the DeBarge legacy, I think. I think you got to give Randy some love.
He's not trying to bring James in here or anything.
Exactly,
Kevin.
Be reasonable.
You know there was a James.
M. Night Shyamalan is 43 years old today. Jerry Halliwell, the Spice Girls. Ginger, 41 years old. Actor Jason O'Mara, he is 41. Vera Farmiga, so good on that Bates Motel show.
Yes, she is.
And also The Conjuring. She has a hit movie right now. 40 years old. Soleil Moon Frye is 37. Melissa George, also 37. Producer Josh Schwartz is 37 as well. Actress model Marissa Miller is 35 years old. Travis McCoy of Gym Class Heroes is 32. And model Adrienne Curry, who used to be married to Peter Brady, 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. I could be green.
He's giving us our money's worth, isn't he?
He sure is.
Let's start with contestant number one on line one. This is going to be Eric joining us to win tickets for Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Eric, do you know your superheroes? Well, then this should be a piece of cake for you because this superhero had a famous romance with another superhero named Black Canary.
Green Arrow.
Green Arrow.
Nicely
well done, sir.
By the way,
boom. That's how it's done.
We have five pairs, so everybody that gets it wins. There's no drawing.
Of the first five. Eric, you're going. Hold on.
This is Green Hero.
Right. Now, this is heroes either with green in their name, but not necessarily. They just have to wear green.
Okay.
And or be green.
Okay.
So these are green heroes.
All right.
I don't think you understand. These are green heroes.
This is Green Heroes.
Danny, good morning.
Morning.
All right, Danny.
You understand the concept here? They're green. Or they wear green.
Danny, right. This member of the Avengers is an android originally created by the Roger. Member of the Avengers is an android. Famous. How many Avengers are androids, for God's sakes?
All right, so you're not even going to guess
I'm
that,
out.
Right?
Yeah.
Danny doesn't know. The Vision.
The Vision,
of course.
Come on, Danny. The Vision. Everyone knows the Vision.
Everyone knows the Vision.
Never heard of it. Let's
you
go to
the
Albert.
Vision.
Hi, Albert.
Morning.
Albert, did you know the Vision?
I
Yeah, I got that one.
All right, see if you can get this one. This character is a green-skinned extraterrestrial humanoid who was pulled to Earth by Dr. Saul Erdel.
John Jones. Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter. Well done,
wow,
sir.
Look
correct.
At that.
Albert's my boy.
You hold on. Congratulations. Let's go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Yeah, right. There's a Jennifer on the line.
There's a Jennifer.
Sure there is.
Stop it. Girls like comic books too, Bean. Jennifer, are you a geek girl?
I am.
All right, well, this should be easy enough for you. This character was given his weapon by a dying alien who crashed to Earth named Abin Sur.
The Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. Well done.
This is Green Heroes.
Nicely done. Hold on.
Pretty impressive group of listeners so far today.
Everyone's getting it.
Compared to yesterday, we only gave away like one pair.
I know. It's rough.
All right. Let's go to Craig. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Ralph. Big fan, Ralph.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it. Craig, this character was created by a bombardment of gamma radiation and was originally gray.
Would that be Superman? No, I'm kidding. The Hulk.
The Hulk.
The
well
Hulk.
Done, sir.
This is Green Heroes.
Nicely done.
See, a little comic book humor there. He
was, are we keeping track? Right. How many more do we have?
We have one more pair to give away. We give away our fourth pair.
All right. Let's go to Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hey, Paul.
How's it going?
Good. This superhero was also once a king with a wife named Mira and a child named Arthur Jr.
Okay, sounds like something I should know. I wish I did.
Yeah. That was Aquaman. Aquaman was once the king of Atlantis with his wife Mira and son Arthur Jr.
Sorry, Paul. Thank you
for
the call. All right, you have another question?
I do, yeah.
All right, let's go to John. Hi, John.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, John, on television, this hero's sidekick was played by Kung Fu legend Bruce Lee.
Green Hornet.
Green Hornet. Well done, sir.
Yay!
That's it. We gave them all away.
Nicely done. How about that?
This was Green Hero.
This is Green Heroes. And I'm glad you played.
We've been giving away tickets all this week for the World Series of Fighting happening this weekend in Ontario. And one of the fighters on the card, Nick Newell, the Notorious One himself, is going to be joining us in studio in about 20 minutes. Find out what that's like, being a professional fighter with just one arm. Maybe not a choice everyone would make, right?
I'll bet it gives him an advantage, though, because I'll bet his opponent always sizes him up and goes, well, I have that advantage.
Right.
I have two arms, and so they're at a disadvantage already.
Yeah. And maybe that's why he's undefeated. That's why Nick beats everybody he fights. Anyway, fascinating guy. Looking forward to talking to him coming up. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air. Your calls that you leave for us on a voicemail at 323-520-AFRO. What are the people calling about?
Well, I did a little work for the Grammys that has been made a lot of fun of, and this guy's calling about that.
Hey, you know, when I was growing up, my mom always taught me to always show love to everybody, especially for Maroon 5.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Thanks to everybody that gets the podcast. That's an extra step that we really do appreciate. This person has a question, just a general question.
Long-time podcast listener, finally listening live. What the f*** is up with the Doc on the Rock murder button?
That's another advantage to the podcast, by the way, no Doc.
This is back from when we were at Comic-Con interviewing Lars Ulrich.
Just listening to your podcast from yesterday, the Metallica interview. I'm bored! That was awful.
Lars likes to talk.
He does. That's true.
I would like a tail. Shut the f*** up, Bean.
Yeah, Bean.
Who's with me?
No one.
It would be awesome.
Not a single person.
You don't know, man.
Not one person. This caller is asking us to make a choice.
What provides more value to society? Beer mug or the turd I just dropped? Please discuss.
No discussion necessary.
I think we all know the answer to that.
Beer mug, f*** you, you fat sucker. F*** you, you son of a bitch. I hope you get type 1 diabetes. Enjoy your f***ing injections, you f***ing asshole.
Why is your dad calling the Afterline? Doesn't he see you enough at home?
Buzz Aldrin.
Yes.
Is one of the only, one of or the only, Bean, I don't know, remaining astronauts that walked on the moon?
No, there's about nine of them.
Sorry, my bad.
She blinded me with silence.
She blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
I don't
think he's got a singing career in his future, but that was him as a guest star with Thomas Dolby recently.
How are Bean and I as hosts?
God damn it, Kevin and Bean. You guys are terrible hosts. The next time Steve-O comes into the studio, would you please get him a glass of water, a lozenge, you know, some Banaca, just something to clear up his throat? Poor guy was just choking the whole interview, and you guys did nothing. How rude.
Yeah, dude. That's his voice.
Yeah, he can't do anything about that.
Yeah. Now, I defy you to make sense of the Armenian comedian's joke.
All right.
I defy you not to say if it's funny or not funny. What's he talking about?
Homeless man, he had a little bread in his hand, so he passed by the restaurant to catch the smell of the food. So the restaurant owner catched him and took him to court and in front of the judge, and the judge, which is me, so I wiggled a lot of money in front of the restaurant owner. He says, "What are you doing that?" He says, "I wiggled money to you. You got paid. Get out of here."
What?
Anyone?
Did the guy in the beginning, he was walking around with bread? He had a loaf of bread?
I thought he was just walking around in front of the restaurant because it smelled good.
I got that something okay. Smelled good at the restaurant, but didn't he start off with something? That's where I got confused. Who and how is Armenian comedian a judge?
And then
what?
The judge is the Armenian comedian, and why is he the judge?
And then who
did he rule against? Did he rule against the homeless guy or the restaurant?
That's crazy.
The guy was homeless?
One more time?
Yes. All right.
Homeless man, he had a little bread in his hand.
All right.
So he passed by the restaurant.
Oh, he meant money. He meant money.
Oh, money. Okay.
He had money. The homeless guy's got some money, passed by the restaurant, probably wants to buy something, and maybe the guy running the restaurant wouldn't serve him?
To catch the smell of the food.
All right. So now he's just walking in front just to catch the smell. He wasn't trying to buy anything yet.
Okay.
So the restaurant owner catched him and took him to court.
So they catched him.
Oh, they catched him.
And took him to court.
I thought he said cashed in.
Right.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay.
And in front of the judge, which is me.
Now, why is the judge Sam?
No idea.
Okay.
I wiggled a lot of money in front of the restaurant. He says, "What are you doing that?" He says, "I wiggled money to you. You got paid. Get out of here."
Okay.
Anyone?
So the restaurant sued the guy for sniffing the nice smells coming out of the restaurant. So Sam wiggled money in front of the restaurant owner and said, "You got paid. Go away."
Does that make sense to you?
No.
Okay. 323-520-AFRO 24 hours a day.
Let me live that fantasy.
She will be performing live on the Kevin and Bean Show Thursday. That is Lord. She is 7 years old.
Wow.
A little younger than the average.
Talented.
Yes, she is.
Seven.
Yes. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
I guess I'll go now.
You go.
All right.
Sure.
It is Tuesday, as Kevin mentioned. That means it's new release day. CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD.
Hit me.
This is what you can pick up, as if you don't have everything already, Bean. The Civil Wars. By The Civil Wars.
I like them.
I love them.
Featuring
so
their
exciting
new hit, The Civil Wars.
Pretty
off
creative.
The album, The Civil Wars.
Pretty creative.
This is the band that broke
big
up last
country
year.
Yeah.
Said they couldn't stand each other, couldn't be in the same room with each other, were never going to get back together again.
Right.
And then 20 minutes later, they got a new album out.
Yeah. You know what they are? They're Katy Perry and John Mayer.
John Mayer.
That's what they are. We don't know what to think with these kids today.
Very talented, though.
Now, that's what I call music. 47 is available today.
He spent 47 of those.
Yeah. On DVD, you can pick up The Place Beyond the Pines with Ryan Gosling and Bradley Cooper and Eva Mendes and Ray Liotta. This movie may have the most stars ever in a movie that I had no interest in seeing. But it's getting pretty good reviews, so maybe you should check it out. Mud with Matthew McConaughey.
That was really
good.
I'd
be like
Hillary
if you did. What was that? Is that good?
Yeah.
He plays a drifter, a hobo, and
yeah,
kids come across him, and then I think, I don't know, they eat him or something? I can't remember.
Okay, that sounds good.
I think he's trying to talk the kids into helping him prove that he's innocent or something.
Oh. Whatever. Mud. Mud butt, that's what I call him.
Doesn't even make sense, but it's funny.
Nope. And here's a movie I saw and really enjoyed, much to my surprise. Oblivion with Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman.
I thought that was good, too.
Olga Kurylenko. Oh, Olga Kurylenko. Yeah. By the way, speaking of Olga Kurylenko, just shattered today. Just shattered.
Why?
Just heart sick.
Why? What happened?
They canceled my Magic City.
What?
That's Beer Mug's favorite show.
Yeah, Beer Mug watches that, too.
He comes in every day. You guys got to watch this.
Such a good show.
I love it.
Such a good show. So this Friday's season finale will, in fact, be the series finale because Starz has canceled Magic City. Only 2 seasons of that show. Not nearly enough. I really enjoyed it. I'm just kind of sad. She plays the wife of
the dude,
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays Ike Evans, the man who runs the
place,
Miramar Hotel. Miramar Plaza Hotel there down in Miami Beach.
In the city.
During the 60s, and the mob's there and everything. It's like The Godfather by the beach. It was just so much fun. I loved that show, and now it's canceled.
I'm surprised, Ralph, because isn't that far and away the most high-profile thing on Starz? I mean, that's their show, right?
Yep.
I think it is now.
I think it is.
That's why I'm surprised. It kinda,
I think they have the White Queen coming up this August as well.
The White Queen.
White Queen. It's one of those historical dramas like The Tudors.
Can't wait.
You didn't watch The Tudors, but The Tudors was good, Kevin.
It was really good.
Anyway.
A lot of sex, Kevin.
A lot of sex.
Oh, who knew?
A lot of sex in Magic City, too, but not enough to save it.
Boobies!
I'm bummed. On TV shows on DVD, here's what you can pick up. Strike Back. Now we got Kevin's attention.
I love that
show. I love Strike Back. It's good on the part of us with Eve W. Labatt.
I love that show, and Dave, the King of Mexico, is the only other person that I know that watches it. I try to get anyone's interest. No one cares.
Complete second season from Cinemax is available on DVD. Community, the 4th season available. Smash season 2. Enjoy that, Smash fans. Duck Dynasty season 3. And The Borgias, the 3rd season, also available on DVD. You can pick that up. Magic City's canceled.
Yeah.
Let Aloha! It's very committed. Staying off the sauce. Okay. Listen, usually Lindsay, when she gets out of rehab, has the cab drop her off at a bar.
That's true.
But in this particular case, she is serious. She is demanding that everyone around her, all of the staff members who work with her, are helping her clear out all the booze. At Beverly Hills Hotel, where she stayed at, she asked them before she checked in, please empty the mini bar, make sure there's no booze in the room before I check
in. How about that?
Told the producers at Chelsea Lately, where last night, of course, she was the guest host, to stock her dressing room with soft drinks only. No booze backstage, please. She doesn't want to be tempted. And this is how I know she really means it. She's living with her mom in their home in Long Island.
Right.
Told her mom, got to get everything out of the house.
Wow, I wonder if her mom will do that.
Well, her mom must have a bunker someplace filled with booze where she runs to get sauced. She's got like a shed from Home Depot in the back with a lock on it that she just goes into when she wants to get hammered. But she said, if I'm going to stay with you, the place has to be clean. You got to get all the booze out of the house. So she's taking all the steps necessary to keep herself straight.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Beyond career-wise, and I think she's a pretty good actress and that going on, just be nice to see her clean her life up and just be happier and healthier. And I'm not one usually roots for other people, but she's had a rough go of it.
She has. And we've gotten plenty of entertainment from her.
You have served your purpose, Lindsay Lohan.
We don't want it to end in disaster.
Be free now. Fly, little dove. Can't say I wish the same thing for Paris Hilton.
Oh, now what?
I wish
she went away for a while.
Not long enough. Oh. She's back in the news again because someone tried to steal her collection of purses from her home in Malibu.
That's hot.
She was reportedly throwing a big party before she left on a trip to Ibiza. And thieves made their way into her bedroom, grabbed all her handbags, some framed pictures off the wall, and all of her bikinis. Sounds like a bean burglary.
How dare you?
Luckily, burglars got spooked. Someone apparently was coming, and they dropped everything, took off. Security guard was able to locate the items and then turn them into the police. So they're still looking for the purse bikini burglars. But
purse bikini
look, after
burglars.
After the Bling Ring movie came out, I can't believe she doesn't get robbed every single weekend. I mean, they made it obvious that she's out of town all the time and she doesn't lock her doors.
She's got good stuff.
Right.
If you have a collection of purses, You deserve to have them stolen.
I don't know.
No one needs a collection of purses. You need three purses.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Probably.
Lisa, how many purses do you own?
I probably have three or four.
That's what I'm saying. That's all you need. You need a couple different colors, right?
Right.
A couple different styles. Something
fancy.
Dressy.
Right.
Something every day. That's all you need.
So what's the limit,
stop whoring around, Paris.
How many are
stop being a whore.
That's right. How many you're allowed to have?
Yeah, what's the limit?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Five?
New rule.
All right.
Five purses.
Five purses.
That's it. Anything other than that, it's Robin Hood. It's time for them to steal from you and give to the poor.
That's right. I'm coming to your house. I'm counting your purses, ladies. So be ready. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Model Adrienne Curry. She was one of those who wants to be a next top model winner, I believe.
She was.
I think she won the first season.
Yeah.
Did she?
And now they're on the 20th season of that show,
wow.
By the way.
Wow. Craziness. 31 years old today. It's funny because she didn't really become a top model, did she?
She did not.
None of them
she
do.
She wasn't really America's next top
they
model.
They don't, do they? Has any of them?
Who wants to be America's next mid-level model?
I mean, a lot of them are still working. A lot of them, you know, made a career in the industry, which I guess is what they were shooting for. But yeah, none of them have turned into Victoria's Secret girls or anything.
Who wants to be the next person to have a sort of a career in the model industry? They don't call the show that.
That's true.
They say, right. Who wants to be the next top model? Travis McCoy of Gym Class Heroes is 32. Marissa Miller, model and actress, is 35. Josh Schwartz, TV producer, gave us a little show called The OC back in the day. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
37 years old. Melissa George, the actress, is also 37.
Where's her show, by the way? Why hasn't that come back?
What was her show?
I don't know.
What's her show?
I don't know. What's her show?
It was on, I think it was on like Showtime or one of those channels. It was great. I saw the first season of it and then never heard about it again.
What was
it?
Called Bunny
keep
Face?
It's coming back.
Could you be more vague?
Was she half human, half bunny?
Yeah, she was half human, half bunny.
Was it Kevin, Team Bunny?
Like it was very much like her old show,
Stop
Alias.
Stop saying you would like it.
No,
and
Kevin,
it was on a network. We need to know what the show was.
I don't
she had a show. It was on one of those networks over there. It was very good. Kevin, you would like it. It was a show, and
no,
it was on
I
a
know.
Network.
All you know is who was in it, her.
Right.
And it was
on
a network, and it was a show.
We know that much.
And you liked it.
We know those three things.
Amityville Horror?
No, it wasn't the Amityville Horror. Although she was on that, too.
That was a movie. First of all, that wasn't a show. Beer said the only clues he gave us was it was a show,
I know, but
a TV show, and it was on a network. Amityville Horror fills neither of those criteria.
But she's in it.
She is in that, yes.
I'm not the one that brought this up.
Well,
with
you
no
said
information.
Amityville Horror.
Well, I was just guessing because it's Melissa George. And we
but
have
that wasn't a show, and it's not on
all
a network.
Right.
Here it is. Here it is, guys. The show is called Hunted. Hunted is what
Hunted.
It was called.
I
used to watch Hunted.
Hunted was
oh,
great.
God.
Yes, it was that on a with
Oh Jesus,
was that on Max Cinemax?
Yeah, I think it was. As I said, it was on one
yes!
of those channels.
I watched it. Just was like a year ago,
right? And it was really good.
Yes,
right? It was like an Alias type show where she was an undercover agent. And she infiltrated
and somebody
her family's house.
Undercover angel,
and then somebody tried to burn her and kill her, and then she wanted to get revenge.
She was a midnight fantasy.
It came right out after Strike Back.
I swear to God it did. Then how did you not know this the whole time?
I don't know Melissa George. I didn't realize that was her name.
She's the cute little blonde bunny face woman.
Yes. Where is it? I don't know is the answer after all that.
We got nowhere.
It was 8 minutes on somebody's birthday, and we've got nothing. What a waste of my time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If you missed the announcement about K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2013 stop number 3, you're going to be very pleased to know it's a band you love in a great city, Depeche Mode in New York. At 9:10 this morning, we'll put you on the standby boarding list here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10, you can get all the details at krock.com.
Found out yesterday Kanye West wants to buy Elvis Presley's iconic Graceland home.
That concerns me as an Elvis fan.
Yeah.
It concerns me to think about Kanye buying Graceland because I have a feeling that it wouldn't be about Elvis anymore. It would be about Kanye.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
No.
How
it wouldn't
long?
Be awesome.
Well, I'm not an Elvis fan, so I don't care. But I do understand that a lot of people worship him. But how crazy bad would it be for all of them? Because it would probably take him like 3 days to turn it into Kanye land.
Right.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh.
It's also a little bit of a surprise. Well, first of all, I don't know what kind of business. I mean, it seems like they should be making a ton of money. It seems like it should be a very profitable business because it can't cost that much to run the thing. And millions of people from around the world tour it every single day, right?
Right.
So, as a business opportunity, I understand somebody wanting to own that. But I just have a feeling that, that he's a megalomaniac and he probably thinks he's as great as Elvis and he probably wants to be, feels like he'll win if he owns Elvis's house. The whole thing is just honked up.
Do you remember when we played the tape from the night that he took the microphone away from Tadoff Swindler, and he was yelling at the table and he said, there's not going to be another Elvis? That's There's right. just me. That's There's right. no more Elvis. There's just me.
So he wants to destroy him off the face of the
earth.
He
really wants to just erase him.
He's already been dead for 40 years, Kanye. You win. The Daily Star is the newspaper, says that Kanye is hoping to buy the property, which is worth about $100 million, as a home, at least a part-time home for him, Kim, and their daughter, Northwest. There have been constant whispers that it's due to go on the market as long as it stays open to the public as a place for Elvis fans to visit. So in other words, he could still keep the tourism part of it, but still live in it. Kanye is really excited about the prospect of owning it. He thinks it would be really cool if he, Kim, and the baby lived there at least some of the time. Well, we asked producer Dave who we could talk to, and it won't surprise you that we couldn't get a hold of Kanye. We couldn't get a hold of Kim. But apparently we do have the hotline to heaven. And I think Elvis is standing by to talk to us, Kevin.
Oh, fantastic. Hello, heaven.
Hi, Elvis.
Do you miss me tonight?
What's going on, buddy?
Hello.
Hey, Elvis.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's Mark and Brian. How are you?
Hey, Mark and Brian. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Where you been, man?
Yeah, we've just been busy.
We had an ugly split. One of us is a dick.
It always works that way in radio, doesn't it, Elvis?
It sure does, man. Even back in the 50s, man, when I was starting out, I remember this morning show, Twinkie and the Hazelnut.
Right.
And one guy always hated the other guy, man. I don't know why that is.
Well, listen, Elvis, the reason we wanted to catch up with you today, besides just to say hi, because I know this is a big week for Elvis fans, as your death anniversary is coming up
very
shortly.
Yeah, good times.
Good for you, right. Kanye West. Are you familiar with the rapper Kanye West? He's become very popular down here.
Jesus, yes.
Yeah, that's him, right.
Sure,
exactly.
I know Jesus, man.
All right.
Well, there's a report that he's interested in buying your former home in Memphis, Tennessee. He wants to own Graceland.
I'm sorry, what?
It's Graceland is going to be sold, is the rumor, and he wants to buy.
Why is someone going to sell Graceland, man?
That's a whole different story. I don't know.
There have been rumors that it's been, that they're maybe looking for buyers. Maybe somebody just doesn't want to run it anymore. Maybe they feel like it's a good profit for them to cash out and retire. I don't know.
I always wanted to leave that for Lisa Marie, my little baby girl.
Yeah.
I wanted her to have that.
Wasn't she the one selling it?
She is, yeah.
That whore.
Your daughter.
I expect that of my ex-wife, but not my kid. Man.
Yeah, your daughter's going to sell Graceland.
Well, I don't think I want to. Kanye West to buy it, go from Graceland to Westworld. I don't think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah. That would be our concern as well, is that he might not appreciate you. You want somebody who's going to do everything they can to continue to promote Elvis Presley, right?
Although I do hear he wrote the greatest rap lyric ever in the history of music ever.
Oh, really?
According to him, yes.
So, listen, man, it's okay. Look, I stole my music from black people, so I guess they can have something back. It's about time they took something back.
Wow. Right.
So, in other words, we cool?
Well, we're not cool, man.
Okay.
But
we boys?
I don't really have any use. No, we're not boys.
Okay.
But I really don't have a use anymore for that house.
But a lot of your fans, they make the pilgrimage there, and they really just go crazy. Yeah.
The one thing I've learned over the past 40 years or so is that most of my fans are assholes.
Oh, wow. Elvis.
Yeah. A lot of them are redneck douchebags.
That's just mean.
And they keep showing up at my house after I've been dead with candles and stuff when I was on my anniversary of my death.
But they think about you, and they reflect, and they listen to your music. It seems like it's a tribute.
Yeah, but I'm really dead, man.
You are dead.
You're super, very dead. Super dead.
Couldn't
super
be more dead. That's true.
I can't. I'm so dead.
Right.
And they just won't let it go. And they keep crowding the streets outside my house. And frankly, I'm ready to let them go. I think it's time for us all to move on.
Really? So you're cool with this? I wasn't expecting that.
I am.
Elvis? You okay?
Sounds like he's...
I still got problems going. Holy crap, Omar. Could that toilet have been louder?
Hey, remember when we were giving away tickets to that World Series of Fighting event coming up at the Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario this weekend? Remember that, you guys?
Yep.
Well, one of the men who's going to be fighting that night, Nick Newell, in studio with us right now here on the Kevin Amin Show. Undefeated pro MMA fighter, World Series of Fighting. Hi, Nick. How are you, buddy?
Can you not hear?
You can't hear.
Oh, his headphones aren't working. Hang on. Nice job, Dave.
Better?
That's the way to prep the guests, right there.
This side was the one with the volume.
Ah, so Dave turned up the wrong one.
All right.
I sure wasted a great intro on you, Nick.
You did.
You want to do it again?
You said a lot of great things.
Nope.
Yeah, I should. Don't give me another chance. I blew it.
Yep. Hey, thanks for coming in. Good to see you.
So, Bean, Nick, I'm upset you didn't make the trek here. I know you're out in Seattle, but I guess it's more comfortable when you can work in your underwear than when you have to dress up and get in a car.
Plus,
you know?
You're not a hot chick.
Yeah, people always want to hit me in the face, and with you, I might feel it. So I think it's probably safer if I'm here. So, Nick, this is an interesting occupation for any person to decide to be an MMA fighter. When did this brilliant idea come to you?
You know, when I was a kid growing up, I wanted to be a Ninja Turtle. So,
all right, a lot of us wanted that.
Yeah, you know, and I've always just had an appreciation for martial arts, and I joined the wrestling team in high school, and then I saw MMA on TV, and I was like, I gotta give this a go. I mean, I just said I'm just gonna learn, and then, you know, I have a habit of taking things to the next level, and I started fighting, and then I started winning and beating better and better guys, and now I'm fighting for World Series of Fighting, which is incredible.
Well, let's back up a step. Were you born with one hand?
Yes, okay. Yeah. I was born this. I've been like this my whole life.
What's it called?
It's called congenital amputation.
Okay. And it's where it's like 2 inches past the elbow?
Yeah. It's
3 inches?
Yeah, I don't know. I never really measured it. But, yeah, it's like a little bit past the elbow. I got a little bit on my arm, and then I'm missing like most of my forearm and my hand.
Dumb question, and I'm sorry for it, but can you put a glove on it?
It wouldn't really make much sense. I don't really hit with the end of my arm. It would hurt me.
It would hurt too much.
It would hurt me more than it would hurt the other guy. And you know, I just hit with my elbow, so I don't ask for any special rules or anything like that. And if I had to wear an elbow pad, then I'd want the other guy to wear elbow pads too. You know,
right, right. So this is the way you've been your whole life. So in a way, it doesn't seem like a disability to you. It's just this is how it's always been, right?
Yeah, this is how I've always been.
Is there anything you can't do, Nick, that we can besides clap?
I can clap. You know.
He's one of those guys that just makes us look bad. Yeah. We have two hands and we're doing nothing.
See, this guy, he's already holding back. He already stopped himself at clapping. If he misses his hand, he's screwed. He's not going to be able to drive a car, tie his shoes, nothing, man, you know?
When you were in high school, you said you started wrestling?
Yeah.
High school can be a difficult time. Did you start as a freshman?
Yeah, I started wrestling as a freshman. I wasn't that good. You know, I got...
Did you get mocked? I mean, it must have been like... They're mean kids in high school. When you're a freshman and you don't have one hand, they go, you're going to join the wrestling team. That had to be a difficult time, no?
Yeah, I had people that had their comments, you know.
Of course.
I always surrounded myself with good people and good friends, and I grew up in a pretty good town, and you know, I always had a solid group of friends that I stuck with through my whole life that are still my best friends today. And I never really – I've learned to have pretty thick skin growing up.
Right.
And
you would have to,
and,
right?
And little really affects me. Obviously, some things hurt, but
– You said you're a bad wrestler?
I was not very good, no, at first.
How did it
– I'm good now. But.
Yeah, sure, I know. How did it start? I mean, how were you your first time? I mean, how do you get through? Well, you must have lost a bunch.
Well, yeah. I mean, I went in there thinking I was going to be Hulk Hogan, you know, and then I realized that this is actually completely different from pro wrestling.
From WWE, yeah.
You can't crack a chair over someone's head.
Yeah, no. I thought I was going to put everyone in the figure four leg lock, but, you know, I ended up losing, like, my first 15 matches. And
all right, hold on right there. You lost 15 matches in a row, and something in your mind went, I can do this.
Yeah, I mean,
that's amazing.
Like, it was like embarrassing, you know? Like, I was like, this sucks because I want to win.
So I'm like,
I'm
just going
to. I'm saying you're a better man than I would have quit. Yeah. I mean, I think most people would go, well, maybe that's not.
It's not
15
for me.
In a row, that hurts.
Yeah, I mean, I went all state by my senior year.
State by your senior year.
And I was captain of my college team and that. But, you know, that year was rough.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
I just hoped that no girls showed up to the wrestling meets.
Because you couldn't then appear cool after you could.
Yeah, like, hey, you see me out there? Yeah, I got ragdolled.
Was there, as Kevin mentioned, high school kids can be mean, but was there ever anyone who wouldn't wrestle you because you had a hand missing? Like they were just too skeeved out by it, or they just didn't want to have anything to do with it, or they didn't think it was fair?
No. I mean, because you're part of a team. Wrestling is a team sport.
So they don't have the option.
And you have to rack up team points to win. And I know it's like one-on-one, but if you skip out, then our team gets 6 points. So the coach always made them wrestle me. And then, you know, there's tournaments. So, like, if you want to be state champ or whatever, you're going to have to go through me.
Gotta go through everybody.
I didn't really have any problems finding people that want to wrestle me.
Do you think it's an advantage in a way in that somebody looks across the ring and goes, he's got a hand missing. I have an advantage. And they're wrong. But
I mean, you can think whatever you want to think.
No, I'm saying, do you think some of your opponents think that way?
They underestimate you.
If anything, I think they fight harder because no one wants to lose to me.
Nick Newell in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He is an undefeated pro MMA fighter. You can see him Saturday at the Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario. Tickets available through WSOF.com. We'll take a break. Come back more with Nick after this on K-Rock. World Series of Fighting happening this weekend in Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario. You can watch it on the NBC Sports Network, and tickets available at WSOF.com. Starting at just $29. Full card, by the way. And one of the men on the card is in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. He is the notorious Nick Newell. Hey, have you thought about what song you're coming out to this weekend yet, Nick?
Yeah, I'm coming out to a song called Zero Gravity by a local rapper called Danny Evans. He's a really talented guy, And you know, he supports me, and I'm going to support him because he's on his way to doing big things. So, you know, if you want to check him out, DannyEvansMusic.com, and you can hear my entrance song.
How's your entourage? How many people you got in your entourage now?
Two.
It's not much.
That's
of an
weak.
Entourage.
That's weak.
Yeah, maybe three. They only let you have three cornermen, so.
That's all
you
need?
You know, like, that's enough, I guess.
So you are undefeated as a pro MMA fighter. I don't know much about MMA fighting below the UFC level. You can make a pretty good living doing what you're doing, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, this is you get the same level fighters as the UFC and World Series of Fighting. It's just a different league and, you know, another opportunity for great fighters to go out there and prove themselves against the best in the world. And it's a fairly new league. This is their fourth show, but, you know, they're already turning heads and they have a lot of attention and the platform's great and the fighters are fantastic. So it's a great opportunity and, I can't wait to, you know, get my name out there more and really, show you guys what I got and make it entertaining.
You're in the lightweight division. Do you walk around at that weight, or do you have to cut, or how does that work?
I fight, 155. I cut a little bit of weight. You know, I'm usually like 175, and then if I like to eat a lot of hot dogs and I take a week off from training, I get up to like 180.
You take 1 week off and then you're right back to it?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, a lot of guys are bigger than me, but I don't really care. It's fine.
Nick walks in today, by the way. And, of course, he's in training. The fight's this weekend. But we've got cases of Pabst Blue Ribbon in the office. And he's like, oh, man, if I didn't have a fight this weekend, it'd be a whole different story. So I have a feeling you're a guy who kind of has to, you know, fight temptation when you're working.
No, that was more a joke than anything else.
I don't
really care. You know, I don't really. I'm not a big, like, drinker or anything like that.
What's the week before a fight like? Are you just hyped? Do you just want it to start so that you can get in the ring and do it? Are you calm and patient?
No, I'm calm. I don't get myself worked up. You know, I work hard, and then when the fight comes, and you know, a little bit before I'm about to walk out that gate and start fighting is when I really start to get amped up.
That's it, just before you walk in.
Yeah.
Wow. Because it just seems like mentally that would be almost torturous to work as hard as you do, as long as you do, and only fight. How often do you fight?
It depends, you know, it depends on when you're healthy and what kind of opportunities you get. And, I think World Series is going to keep me pretty active and give me what I want is a lot of fights and just a great stage to, you know, perform.
Do you have a backup plan if fighting starts to go south for you? Is there something else you want to do?
Why would you ask him that? He's undefeated.
Yeah, no, it's always
nothing
good.
Nothing lasts forever,
it's
Kevin.
Always good to have a, you know, you can't fight forever. You know, I plan on to keep winning. That's a game plan.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been working hard and getting better, and I know where I stand, and I just have to prove it. But I do have a degree in communication from Western New England University. You know, I was a master control operator for a number of years before I got pretty good at this fighting thing.
He's smarter than we are, Kevin, and he could kick our ass.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what's going on right here.
That's true. How do you beat most people? I think we talked about this off the air, but not on the air.
Yeah, I have a lot of submission wins. You know, I'm a brown belt in jiu-jitsu and a college wrestler.
Again, another dumb question. I'm sorry.
But I have a few knockout wins as well.
Another dumb question. I'm sorry, but isn't it harder to submit somebody without another hand? Doesn't it make it more difficult to get a hold? And
I don't know. You give me a hand, and I'll tell you which one's
easier.
I'd rather
not.
You know, like if I had a left hand, I could tell you which one's easier, but I don't. So, and I never have. So, it's kind of a hard question.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is way harder. You know, like, I don't even know what it's like to, like, you know, do it with
two
hands.
So you just learn to do it this way, and it's normal for you.
Have you ever had any interest, Nick, in a prosthetic hand, not for in the ring, but just in your day-to-day life?
I had one when I was a kid. You know, and yeah, I had a little electronic one back in the day. The technology wasn't as good. And,
right.
It used to be like, it was like big and heavy.
You could hear it?
And like, I have like crazy bad ADD, so I would like be like standing there and like, it would go, I'd pinch myself in a place that you probably wouldn't want to pinch yourself with a strong metal hand.
Right.
You know, because it dangles right about at that length.
No thanks.
And I realized that instead of carrying around this big metal heavy thing, you know, it's probably better if I just take it off and club someone over the head with it, you know. It works a little better.
I think you learned a valuable lesson.
Like, I just learned how to do everything on my own, and if you want to look at me and judge me or whatever, go right ahead, you know.
Nope.
I'm happy
no
the way
judgment
I am.
Here
yeah.
Nope, you win. All right, anything else you want to tell us about Saturday night, Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario, NBC Sports Network? Tickets available to see the fights in person at WSOF.com. What else should we know about the World Series of Fighting Ford?
Who's your opponent? What do you know about him?
Keon Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
He's 9-1, so we have pretty similar records. He's a big dude. He's coming down from 170. Was his last fight at 170.
Oh, he fought at 170. Okay.
Yeah, he fought at 170, and he's got a lot of knockout power, so I got to watch out for that, but I'll be more than ready.
You look quicker. You look, I don't know him, but you look quick.
Yeah, I'm very fast.
Yeah.
And I'm technically, I think I'm a better fighter than he is, and you can't break me. I'm going to go after you as soon as the bell rings, and I'm going to look to finish, and really, you're going to have to really put me away to put me away, you know?
There's no going easy.
It's hard to beat someone that is never going to quit and is always going to be coming forward, so.
Well, I'm glad we got a chance to meet you. Good luck this weekend.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Tell me more about shows I don't watch.
Dear Kevin and Bean, you said goodbye to Nick, the MMA fighter with one hand, and the first commercial that comes on after that is the FlexAlert one that begins, "Let's hear it for hands."
Yeah.
Poor guy. Fire beer mug.
Beer mug?
That was embarrassing.
It was Bean's choice.
It was no one's choice.
Bean
it was just random.
That. You know he did.
But when we said thanks for coming in, our headphones were all full blast, and the commercial comes in. Let's hear it for hands. I was like, oh, no, he's going to think
Fire
we did
beer
that
mug.
On purpose.
Fire beer mug.
We didn't do it on purpose, just
you
for the
did.
Record. We didn't. We didn't even know what the commercial said.
What can you? What can you do besides clap?
Well, he looked at us. He's like, why are you guys playing me like that? You don't want to piss off an MMA fighter, you guys. Come on, use your head.
That's a damn good one.
All right, Ralph, your friend Ben Glebe is going to be joining us after
the Glebster.
Yeah, he'll be coming in. Very funny man. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Glebe, by the way, just destroys it in Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie.
Oh, does he?
Yes, he plays a villain in that. Because the premise is Jay and Silent Bob become superheroes, and those of us who are in it, to a large degree, all play their arch villains who go up against them. I play a character named Richard Head, only it's the nickname
sure.
for Rich.
Sure.
And he plays a supervillain named News Group, who's basically an internet nerd.
Right.
And it's very, very entertaining. He does a great job of that movie. But he's a funny guy. Good man. Nice man. Good guy. Rumors about Jennifer Lopez rejoining American Idols. Panel of judges just won't quit. She is apparently coming back, although it's not official yet. The official announcement should come down in a week or two. But the details are starting to leak out regarding why she made that choice. And the big one, apparently, is her kids. Max and Emmy start school this fall, and she thought it would be easier if she lived in Los Angeles, stayed at home, and let them go to school, and she could get a gig that wouldn't require her to tour all around the country like she's been doing.
And what does she make, like $18 million?
Well, that's the other thing, is she picked up $12 million during season 10. But she's going to have to rough it this year with only $15 million salary for the one season. So
now, that sounds like a lot, but remember, that show is an hour twice a week.
That's true. She's going to be earning it. She's going to be earning that money. $15 million for one season's work on American Idol. That's the rumor.
And I think in total in an hour show, how much do you think each judge talks? About 2 minutes?
30 seconds, 10, 20, 30. Oh, I'd say 3 minutes, 3-4 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. That is
but
a
they
lot.
Have to sit you check yourself, through the Bean. Show.
That's the problem. They're paying her to sit there.
But they don't. The camera's not on them all the time. You could text. You could make out your shopping list.
That's
you
a good
imagine
idea.
If
Read
the camera shot over to you and you're tweeting yeah, something.
You got out an abacus and you're doing your taxes. Still do taxes on the abacus, right?
Sure. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sad news for me and Beer Mug. The one thing we had in common is now all over.
What?
Starz Cable Network has pulled the plug on Magic City.
What?
I loved that series. I never wanted it to end. I was always so bummed. I get bummed after an episode when it's over. I'm like, oh, I wish this episode was twice as long so I could keep watching.
Had a great cast, though, I'll tell
great
you that.
Great cast. It was a great show. I understand it. I don't understand why nobody watched. How come everybody raves about it and watches Mad Men, and this is Mad Men, but with bullets and boobs, gangsters, and
whores.
Better. Judy Silver. How hot is Judy Silver, that slutty prostitute, Beer Mug?
Oh, I don't ever want to hear that noise again.
Especially not with him behind you. Yeah, I think Beer Mug got Magic City canceled. So the season finale this Friday will now be the series finale, so I'm bummed.
Commercial said, let's hear it for hands.
Yeah, we all heard that.
That happened.
Another Mission Impossible movie in the works. Tom Cruise back as Ethan Hunt.
Love it.
Everybody said that was going to be his last one, and they were going to perhaps pass the torch to Jeremy Renner, who's also starring in that film. But
the last one was great.
Looks like it was really good. Tom Cruise will be back. In fact, the last one, Ghost Protocol, made nearly $700 million around the world.
Wow.
Which is, as you can imagine, why they're making another sequel. It was Tom Cruise's highest-grossing film ever.
Really?
Not that.
All the hits that he's had, that was the biggest one.
I hope
one.
Simon Pegg comes back. He was great.
Yeah. Did you guys catch the Postal Service when you were there at Lollapalooza,
Did
Kevin?
Not. Did not.
Oh, well, you'll see him next time.
Why are you saying that?
Because they said that was their last performance ever.
Oh.
The band has broken up, saying Lollapalooza was the last time they'd ever perform. Actually, they performed one extra time. They did an after Lollapalooza gig at the Metro nightclub. It was a full 90-minute set.
I could have seen that. Instead, I was watching Salt and Pepper.
And Ben Gibbard said, not only will this be the last song of the tour at 1:30 a.m. at the end of that set, this is the last song we will ever do. Postal Service, it's all over for them.
I liked and them, but I
liked
didn't,
them too.
But I didn't love them. So,
but I would like them to
of course.
keep making music versus not if I had my choice.
I agree.
And let's remember that they put out one album 10 years ago and then went away.
Yeah.
And then they just got back together this year for a few concert dates, and now they're already pulling the plug on it.
Maybe the Rage Against the Machine. Get back together every
year
and a half.
Never, right? Bands have said that before, and then eventually people say the timing is right. It seems like people don't have something going on and say, you know, let's get back together.
Let's
again.
Do it.
If the freaking Eagles get back together, anybody get back together. Those
right.
guys hated each other.
Yes, they did.
You know, you're going to go see them when they reopen the Forum in January?
Just going to say that, yeah. The Forum is being brought back by the people in Madison Square Garden. They took $70 million and they refurbished it, and they're going to open it up again as basically a music venue now.
No kidding.
So the Forum is returning to Los Angeles, and the Eagles are going to christen it in January. I'm going.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Adrian Curry's 31 years old today. Travis McCoy of Gym Class Heroes, 32. Marissa Miller, model and actress, is 35. Josh Schwartz, TV producer and writer, is 37 years old. Melissa George is 37. Don't even get into it. Soleil Moon Frye, she was Punky Brewster. She
oh, was. Punky.
As her father would say. Or her uncle, or whoever that creepy old dude was. She was living in his house. 37 years old today. Vera Farmiga is, or Farmiga, I guess it is 40 years old today. Jason O'Mara, 41. Another show I loved and got canceled. Life on Mars.
Remember that? Yeah.
About the cop who gets shot in the head. He goes back to the 70s.
What do all these canceled shows have in common?
I loved them.
Oh, that
if I love a show, it dies. He was also on the show Terra Nova, which also disappeared.
Which also died.
But I did not like that one, so I was okay with that. Right. So my record is not perfect. Jerry Halliwell from Spice Girls is 41 years old today.
Is she your favorite? She's your favorite Spice Girl.
By far my favorite Spice Girl, yes. I was always a Ginger Spice man. Ginger Spice. M. Night Shyamalan is 43 years old today. Wait! He's 44! I was trying to give a twist ending to it, but it didn't really work. You just don't understand it, man. If you don't like it, you didn't get it.
That's what he says about all his movies.
Randy DeBarge of DeBarge is 55 years old today. We don't have any DeBarge music to play here.
Not for Randy.
Rhythm of the Night or Who's Johnny nothing. We got no DeBarge.
Nope.
He's an important part of DeBarge. Randy. Randy was
DeBarge
significant.
DeBarge isn't even important.
Randy was significant. L, of course. This is not DeBarge.
You're the nail on the cross.
I think this is Randy.
You're the fly in my bill. You're the key that God loves.
Why bother with you people? Pearls before swine. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I love that song by Bastille, but it does sound like The Lion King, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Little Hakuna Matata in there. You're absolutely
a little
right.
Little Lion Kingy.
That is called Pompeii here on the Kevin Amin Show on the world-famous Kerouac. 1 hour from right now, we put you on the standby boarding list for Depeche Mode in New York City. It's Kerouac's Road Trip USA 2013, stop number 3. And Jason Biggs will be here from Orange is the New Black. Very excited about that. First, though, not that this isn't just as good. Ladies and gentlemen, comedian Ben Glebe in the studio with us here now. Hey, Ben.
How you doing, guys? And it's appropriate you played Lion King because I was carried here, raised in the air like a glorious moment.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Ralph carried me in that way.
Ben, of course, is a very popular comedian. You can see him at the Hollywood Improv this coming Friday night. Tickets available through laughstub.com. He is the host of the podcast Last Week on Earth. And you're also a regular on the Chelsea Handler panel. And it's funny, that leads me into my first question, which is the last time I saw you on Chelsea, I believe you were wearing that same Members Only jacket on the TV.
that is wearing true.
A white Members Only jacket.
That's exactly right. Well, as I said off air, and I probably shouldn't repeat on air, I'm trying to mix the 80s and the Aryan Nation.
You're doing it well.
Into now, one happy jacket.
Is that your, do you love wearing? I mean, do you wear that all the time?
Yeah, well, for years on Chelsea, I wore plaid shirts and plaid ties. I thought it was a great fashion statement, and she eviscerated my very existence, and I didn't get laid for 2 years.
She should have.
She should have.
Okay.
That's fair.
But so this is your ultimate?
I try to bring back the 80s as much as possible.
All right.
Try to match my stand-up act same way. My act is very 80s comedy. I talk about airplane food all the time.
Sweet.
How about that wacky Reagan?
Yes, exactly right. Sometimes I grow a beard and talk about what a country this is. So now, that's really exciting.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but do they still make Members Only jackets, or is this a thrift shop item only now?
They do make them again now. I have a couple vintage ones. My dad gave me one, and my grandfather gave me one that has shoulder pads that I can't wear.
Oh, that's strong.
Why don't you wear the shoulder pad one?
Well, because my grandfather was a smaller man.
A little tight.
It would be weird to have huge shoulder pads and a very tight jacket that barely fits your torso.
Please wear that the next time you're on TV.
I will do that for
begging
sure.
You. All right.
As an homage. That'll be my little sign to you. It'll be my little Carol Burnett ear pull. We'll be in misfitting clothes.
That a comedian would have to do something else to repulse chicks more. It seems like you've already got that covered just by the nature of your work.
I'm hoping that the two cancel each other out. He's really aggressively shticking constantly and dresses horribly. I want him.
Right. Now, Ralph was telling us that you're both doing voices in the Jay and Silent Bob groovy cartoon movie. How did you get into Kevin Smith's orbit?
I did a pilot with Kevin. One morning, randomly, I got a call asking if I'd like to do his Tonightly pilot. It was a Chelsea Handler type of late night show to kind of co-host it. And I I said yes because they paid me a great amount of money. And I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan. I went in there and we hit it off. We might have shared some illegal substances after the taping.
Oh, we know.
He asked for my life story. I shared it at length, and he said, come to my podcast. And then he offered me my own show on his network and then turned me into a cartoon. So it's
who
pretty...
do you think could talk longer, Carolla or Smith?
Oh, that's a good question, man. I mean,
like if you put him in a room and just said go and last man standing, who would win that battle?
I think Kevin might win because I think Adam needs a bunch of topics being thrown at him. I think Kevin can expand on one topic for a long time.
I'm going Smith too. I think he could talk indefinitely.
I think that's true.
Like, you just have to eventually go, all right, this is over.
Yeah, and you feel more and more like it's just more and more kind of wise and deep each time he speaks. Crow, I think sometimes he's just like riffing opinions on a bunch of random things.
That's true.
A little strong of an opinion about the earbuds. You know what I mean?
He's got strong opinions on the smallest, most insignificant
everything.
Thing.
He really does.
That's why we love him.
It's true.
This is the voice of comedian Ben Glebe here on the Kevin DeBean Show. If you're just tuning in, Hollywood Improv this Friday night. Tickets available through laughstub.com. I was interested to hear because we've had hundreds of comedians on the show over the years, Ben. But I don't think we've ever had anyone who hosted a television show on his college campus for 4 years. Like, how does that even – like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, what college has a TV station?
Our college, UC San Diego, had a TV station. And after the first few months of college with girls literally, like, turning the other way when I would walk by, I thought I had to think of another solution. So I was going to create a pseudo celebrity on this campus, and I created this show, and it like grew each year to the point where my senior year was the fourth annual live Glebe show. Carmen Electra was my guest, 3,000 students in the crowd. The Marines brought me in on a tank. I was holding a torch.
What?
And after the last month of college, I got a couple of dates that I screwed up like in the date and still did not get laid.
Oh,
but I got closer.
4 years of work.
I got closer.
Closer
guys.
Is not the goal.
That's not. No, well when you don't get any action for a long time, anything is the goal.
But that was 4 years
of
work.
It's true. I mean, I've gotten laid since college.
How many times?
I mean, let's just say like it'll happen.
4 years and then whiffing is like these athletes who train for the Olympics and they've got their one moment in the spotlight to go for the gold and they lose by face force of the sand
tenth of a second.
Right, yeah, that's exactly. True. I kind of like the Michael Phelps who smoked the bong in the off season, but I just do it shamelessly. I'm like, yeah, it's going to disqualify me. Great, can I have another rip, please?
Now, I've tried to picture how this works. So, was there any competition? Like, did you have the only job on campus doing that, or were there lots of people making TV shows? I mean, were they always trying to overthrow you so somebody else could have the show and you just refused to let it go?
That is what it is. They actually were a lot of – our school had 5 TV stations actually.
What?
Each of the colleges at UCSD had its own station. There's like a little 5 college system and people were constantly trying to usurp my power in this campus. And it was – I had become the station manager of the station to only approve substandard shows.
You ruled with an iron fist sure that only bad shows went on against
that
you.
That is a fact.
Because that's how you look good, as if everybody else sucks, right?
That's exactly. Clearly, I have no fashion sense and no ability to pull girls. I'm going to do my talk show and no one's getting in my way.
So all of that was preparation for you getting into stand-up then. You had already had a tremendous amount of experience in front of a camera, in front of people.
Yeah.
Probably failing quite a bit, I would imagine, before you ever took to the stage.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, beyond that even, I grew up with like a pretty serious speech problem. So I couldn't even talk. Even through most of college, I couldn't talk a lot of the time. Yet I had this talk show. It was like beyond a stutter. It was like a disfluency where my vocal cords would just lock up and I couldn't make sound come out of it.
Really?
And that was from stress or being nervous? Or?
I don't know. I've had it from like age 3 or 4 all the way until about 22 on and off.
Wow.
And I guess mostly from being nervous and just not looking at it right. So I would literally on air in college, thank God I didn't have to do that on like national television, I would deliver jokes and I would get frozen up while speaking and still hit the punchline somehow in a weird, odd, syncopated way that would get laughter.
Everybody's like, I love his style.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Slowly it shifted in people laughing at me to them laughing at me in like a better way, I suppose.
So when you were and I know we have to take a break here with Ben Glebe in just a moment, but when you were a little kid before you overcame this, were there times where you would like stand up in class or something and just no sound came out?
Oh yeah, I would be called on and there would be no sound. It would be terrible to the point where I had to ask teachers to never call on me.
Oh.
And and unless I raised my hand, quickly called me because I felt like I could avoid a block. And it was pretty much cured after college, except once in a blue, it comes. One time it came back on Chelsea Lately.
Oh, really?
On the round table. Chelsea was hammering me for something like she hammers me about everything I say, practically. And I got a little stumbled, and I kept not being able to talk. And she's harassing me. I'm sitting in between Joe Coy and Bobby Lee, two very Asian dudes.
Right, yes.
And she's attacking me for not being able to speak. And they both chime in and start attacking me. They're like, it's just TV, Ben. Relax. Oh. And making me feel horrible. And I finally recovered and said, no, it's fine. I'm not embarrassed. At least I'm not like these guys excited to be here on Chersey Ratery. And then I had this plan, had two Nicely fortune done. Cookies in my pockets, and slid them around the round table to them to eat in case
ben
they got hungry.
For the win, ladies and
nice.
Gentlemen.
Thank you very much. It was nice my rope-a-dope episode.
August 9th, that's this Friday night at the Hollywood Improv. Get tickets at laughstub.com. More with our guest in a moment on K-Rock. Stand-up comic actor Ben Glebe in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Last Week on Earth podcast, which is part of the fine family of podcasts through smodcast.com. He also is going to be on stage at the Hollywood Improv this Friday night. By the way, Ben is fond of saying that he's one of the stars, Kevin, in the biggest animated movie of all time. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That is
true.
Am I
lying, Ben?
No, it's true, and that's not Jay and Silent Bob Super Groovy Cartoon
oh,
Movie.
Okay, I was...
That is Ice Age, Continental Drift.
Ah.
I'm one of the I'm the brother, younger brother of Sid the Sloth. I'm Marshall the Sloth.
If you went and asked 1,000 people on the street what the biggest box office for an animated movie in history is, none of them would say Ice Age 4,
no.
Right?
That is true. I'm stunned every time I see that online. I'm like, is this for real? I'm trying to disprove my own fact. And actually, my weird way of speaking is part of how I got that role. I would go and audition for a million animated roles. I wouldn't often get them. And then I went in and I hadn't even seen the Ice Age movies. I auditioned to be the Sloth brother. And the casting director, Christian Kaplan, after my audition says to me, because I guess Sid the Sloth has this heavy lisp. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Ben, you putting a minor lisp into this character was brilliant.
and you said thank you.
Yeah, I tried to avoid using S's the rest of the time in the studio. I'm like, thank, forward, kind, bye-bye.
That's funny. We were talking to Ben off the air about his holiday stand-up show where he just gets incredibly drugged to the point where he may die one year if he continues to do it. And that got us on the topic of you've actually given up. You've cut back on the consumption, on the alcohol and drug consumption recently. How come, Ben?
Well, I've at least cut out edibles. I don't no longer eat marijuana. And the reason is because I've had a series of bad experiences doing it. I've told the story in my act for a long time that my dad and I one time ate pot brownies together. And my dad and I ate pot brownies. And we went golfing at this little three-par Rancho Park course. And he got messed up out of his mind. And he starts talking trash to me then when I overtook his high. And I couldn't function. He says to me, I guess you can't handle your stuff, baby. I don't know why he was like throwing drug terminology from the 60s at me. He's like, listen, bro, come on, baby. And so then cut to like a month and a half ago, I'm at my parents' house with my brother and sister-in-law, a little nephew there, and my brother asked me if I want to do a pot cookie with them. And I don't like edibles since then, but I'm like, all right, I'll do it to be cool in front of my young father brother.
Sure.
We should definitely do this. And so we eat these cookies, and I get messed up beyond belief. And I don't want my parents to think I'm dying, but I'm dying. I literally didn't want to interrupt the family conversation to tell them I need to go to the hospital. My mom's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, fine. Hour later, I'm like, maybe if I could please get some Sprite and some hot tea with lemon and possibly a water and another Sprite. And I had four beverages in front of me, and it did not work. I got very sick. I ran to the backyard and began projectile vomiting in the backyard.
Right.
And then I decided it was time for bed. I have a bedroom there in my parents' house, and I literally, I asked my mother. I couldn't make it onto the bed. I was on the floor. I asked my mom.
You're on the floor in your bedroom?
On the floor in the bedroom.
And you couldn't climb
onto the bed.
All right.
And I asked my mother if she would sleep on the floor next to me.
No,
and
you didn't.
I swear to God, I'm a 35-year-old man.
That did not happen.
I swear on my life. Asked her if she would hold my hand while I slept.
Dear God.
Because I thought I was going to fade off into death if she didn't hold my hand. And she did
but
this.
She would somehow hold on to you?
Yeah, I thought she would kind of feel like my hand getting a little softer.
Right.
And
oh
she would wake
she
me
would
up.
Say, don't go into the light.
Yeah, exactly right. Do not write a best-selling book about proving heaven exists. And
Have we done the phone-in topic, Kevin, of the highest you've ever been? Oh, I think we have. It sounds like Ben's story would fit right in, though, doesn't it?
We did after the Snoop Dogg incident at the Playboy Mansion. Yes.
That's a long but
we
can
do it again. Right. We can do it again, though.
It was pretty terrible. I also
How
asked my mom.
Did that last?
It lasted until about 7 in the morning.
Yeah, that's the problem with edibles is that'll last forever.
You don't know how long it's going to last. And I also asked my mom while she was holding my hand, lying on the floor as a grown adult who's supposed to be successful person in the business world here. I asked her if she would sing me the song she used to sing me to sleep when I was a young baby.
Wow.
To which she said, absolutely not.
She's got that request down. She's got some standards.
She does. She has some standards.
Wow.
Do you have a close relationship with your parents, by the way, that you guys can do drugs together?
I do. I do have a pretty close relationship.
Apparently.
That's impressive.
They trust me more than they should. There are times when I say I'm thinking about doing blank, and they're like, we support anything you do. I'm like, no, please sometimes say you probably shouldn't do
this. Every once in a while, be a parent.
Yeah. I just went hang gliding this weekend, and they're like, great, good luck. I'm like, I'm jumping off a mountain, guys. This is a cry for help.
What was that about, by the way? I was surprised to see that you were doing that. Why?
Was your mom holding your hand at the top of the mountain?
No, she was not. She was not.
You could do it, son.
Yeah, I know. She was in the Israeli army, but she has given up her paratrooping ways. I just always wanted to do it. I always wanted to jump off a mountain, and I wanted to impress a girl who also wanted to do it for her birthday. So I said, I'll take you hang gliding. And then you don't ever want to suggest that you'll take someone to do something before Googling the price.
Oh,
first of all,
is it crazy? Good point. Expensive?
It's not crazy, but it's, you know, for a comedian's salary, it's not cheap.
Right.
And then you also don't want to promise something that you sounds manly, and then you realize, now I have to run off of a mountaintop in front of this girl. Otherwise, I will never see her again. She'll never see me in a manly way. So I did it. And it was kind of frightening. But then once you're in the air, it's actually pretty amazing.
Did you feel like you pulled off the macho that was required for that?
Yeah.
To jump off the mountain? Or did you do it like a little girl and you still didn't get any kind of credit for being brave enough?
Well, luckily, I kind of suggested that ladies go first and let her jump off the mountain first.
Nice.
So she didn't hear you screaming?
She did not hear me screaming, no. It would not have been great if I had to go first.
Exactly.
It was,
all right.
Yeah, that's the way
we are
it.
Unfortunately better out of time. And you're really going to be hurt when I tell you why we're kicking you out right now.
Please.
Because the Bachelorette report is coming up next. Hey,
guys, I understand priorities in life.
You don't watch that show, right?
I used to watch it when I was a young romantic boy until comedy took all romance out of me and replaced it with random sexual experiences.
Well, Petros Papadakis is going to join us along with Ralph Garman, and they're going to break down last night's Bachelorette finale. But Ben Glieb, you were awesome. Thank you for stopping by today. Hollywood Improv this Friday night. Tickets available at laughstub.com for just $15. And look for the podcast Last Week on Earth. We'll see you again, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
The world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
At 8:38... I don't know. Ralph's not in here. Maybe we just move on to something else.
The segment's been canceled. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe we're not doing the Bachelorette report.
Is Jason Biggs here? Can we get Biggs in here? Is Biggs here? Is Jason Biggs in here? Oh.
Hey, you want to know something?
What?
Nobody was tweeting more about the Bachelorette finale last night than Jason Biggs.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm going to hop in here during Biggs, too. We're going to catch up a little bit.
No,
on
this
what's
is
been going
your
on.
Bachelorette.
No. No.
This is your Bachelorette time.
No.
And this is all you get.
No, Eve W. Redbat.
Let's play the intro, shall we?
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petros Papadakis, so he's holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset, watching the Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show?
It's great.
It both sucks and it blows.
It doesn't.
You watch it without any regret. Here's the about the Bachelorette.
Let's talk to our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show, weekday afternoons on AM 570. Hi, P.
Hey, what's popping with y'all?
Our journey has ended, P.
Can I just announce for everybody that this is the last Bachelorette report?
Until January.
Forever.
Until January, till we come back with the Bachelor Report.
Forever.
P, you were very sad a week ago after the devastating events of the night before. You were set up for last night. Last night was the finale. How are you feeling?
A little hollow.
Shocking. I thought last night was shocking, P. That's the word I would use.
Well, you know, there's a few things. First of all, I think Ralph and I should just go through this one thing first.
Okay.
Ralph, repeat after me, please.
All right.
Who?
Who?
Juan.
Juan?
Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo.
Yay!
That's
all right, all right. Now we can talk about...
That's the next Bachelor?
The next Bachelor is Juan Pablo.
Hey, take it easy, guys.
Juan Pablo.
Take it easy. What are you talking about? We're not
saying... I'm just saying, we still have to deal with what happened with Desiree before Juan Pablo.
Did you both watch 3 hours of TV last night around The Bachelorette?
Hell to the yeah.
3 hours, P.
3 hours and some internet chats afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I too had to log on the net and get it out with some people.
Wow.
But last week, Brooks leaves Desiree in a puddle of her own tears. She is heartbroken. He was the one she was going to choose. He was the one that she loved. And all she was left with was a crazy stalker, creepy Drew, and and milquetoast poet Chris. That's all she had to choose from. We said, well, she's going to send them both home, and we're going to have a bachelorette with a broken heart this season. But no.
Wait,
no.
Is that not an option? Or it is
of
an option?
Of course it's an option.
Okay, it is.
And that's what we assumed would happen. Or Brooks would come back and sweep her off her feet on some sort of white stallion, and they would go off into the sunset. But we got neither one of those satisfying endings. Instead, what happened, P?
Well, yeah, I thought Brooks was going to roll up like Napoleon Dynamite on a stallion, too. I mean, I really did.
Yeah.
I mean, and I kept checking the time like, wow, there's only 20 minutes left. Where is this dude? He's got to show up, and she's got to dump this other guy. The dumping of that Ken doll that Ralph hated, it went pretty badly. I believe he described himself as gutted afterwards,
gutted.
Which it's a good word.
Yeah.
And confused. He also said that.
Yeah. So he thought he was in play. He thought there was a good chance he was going to end up with Desiree?
They all have convinced themselves that she's going to marry him.
Right.
And this guy, Chris, wouldn't have gotten in there. He's a poet. He's terrible. But he was the last man standing, really. And the last 40 minutes, there was only one dude left.
Yep.
So it was a little bit of an anticlimax.
How could you do the last 20
Brooks
minutes?
Left, and then Drew, she said, goes on a date with Drew, and she goes, nah, this, I'm not feeling it. She sends him home.
Oh.
So Chris
so what's
is the
left
only
to
one
say?
Left. The only way, the, what's left to say is she going to cut him loose too and say,
oh,
my heart
I see.
Still belongs to Brooks, we have no shot? Or will he accept a half-assed proposal from this guy who she didn't really give a rat's ass about the whole season until now?
She went half-assed proposal.
Yep, that's
she
what happened.
Did.
She accepted his proposal. They are now engaged.
Wait, a week
a
ago
huge
she was
for silver medalists and second choices everywhere.
That's right.
She was crying her eyes out a week ago because the man that she truly loved, Brooks, was leaving the show.
Hey guys, don't get it twisted. She was crying her eyes out all last night, and I couldn't tell if they were tears of joy or regret and sadness and lament. It was awesome because it's so confusing, and they will be miserable for the rest of their lives with the shadow of Brooks over their marriage.
They're never going to get married. That's ridiculous.
Never going to get married. She's moving to Seattle to be with him this week.
She's
Ralph,
not,
do you believe they're going to marry, or once the TV cameras are off, are they going to go, we don't even like each other?
Here's the fascinating thing about last night's show, in my opinion. It was the first real Bachelor, Bachelorette show you've ever seen because you got to see firsthand how damaged Desiree is as a person. She has been without love her whole life. Her family life was effed up. Guys have screwed her over. And now here's one guy, such a puppy dog, who is willing to say, oh, you were in love with Brooks, but you're going to settle for me? Okay, I still love you. Let me write you a poem.
Right.
He is so dedicated to her. He will do anything for her for the rest of her life. And she said, you know what? That's what I'll take then. I'll just settle for that. I will be with this guy because I know that
they're
he will
already
always
broken
be
up.
By my
today
side.
They're broken
no,
up.
No, she's going to stick with him because
this
she
day.
Is desperately in need of love, and he will give it to her.
She was like the guy in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire that gets like two questions right and just quits.
That's true.
Yes. Just walks with the $10,000.
I just like to take my money and go.
Yeah.
So were you guys satisfied with it last night or disappointed?
I told you I felt hollow.
Hollow.
Hollow. Yeah, that's a
yeah,
good word.
Yeah, a little
word.
Hollow until a Latin suavecito mujeriego rolled in on a caballo and saved the freaking day.
Juan Pablo!
Juan Pablito!
In January, Juan Pablo returns as the Bachelor with his little adorable daughter, Camilla.
Camilla?
Camilla.
Oh, Juan Pablo.
I want to find a stepmother for Camilla.
What is wrong with both of you?
Breaking the racial barrier when a black guy couldn't even get a sniff for years. We got a Venezuelan dude.
That's right.
And he's going to bring the corpse of Hugo Chavez with him.
Wow, we're really looking forward to that.
Juan Pablo.
January can't get here fast enough for me, P.
Right after New Year's, I'm going to start camping out in front of the building in a tent.
All right, guys, so that's it. We're closing the casket on The Bachelorette.
I don't want to say goodbye to the journey, though.
I would like to say goodbye.
I'm here for all the right reasons, P. I don't know about you.
I'll be loving Dez for all the 4 seasons.
Thank you, P. Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah, but seriously, guys.
Seriously.
Goodbye.
You know, the journey,
right.
You know, it's really more about the journey than
right.
the finish line.
Absolutely.
And what a journey it was. Perhaps the most dramatic season ever.
You know, I thought it was probably the most tears of all time from those big anime character eyes on Dez. And don't forget that ass.
Oh, that meaty ass.
He has some real sad music.
Sad music. The only sad music I want to hear is the dial tone on P's phone.
How dare you, sir?
Pretty sure Jason Biggs is dead to us.
We are.
He's a little too goddamn excited about the Bachelorette, I'll tell you that.
We are on fire in the other room. We are going to bring it.
Bet you are.
This is going to be one of the rare times, Ralph, where the show on the air is better than the show off the air.
That's true.
Okay.
Because you're going to be talking about the Bachelorette.
Yeah, because all you guys are doing is Bachelorette.
The show on the air, we're going to show off the
yes.
air.
Right, because we're going to be talking Orange is the New Black, which is my favorite show.
No,
Jason
no, we're talking Bachelorette.
No, we're not.
He said, you have to come in with me. I can't wait to talk Bachelorette.
Then he needs to leave.
Whatever it takes.
Ralph is here now. Time for the show. He's been on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
This is proof positive that no matter how hot a chick is, there's a dude someplace who's tired of her ass.
Screw all the haters and what they say.
Long time fan of that statement, because it's true. You can look at a girl and say, wow, she's the sexiest, hottest thing ever. And then spend a couple years with her, and you're like, God damn it. What the hell am I doing here? Russell Brand did a stand-up show in London, and he didn't have some... he had some unkind things to say about his ex-wife, Katy Perry.
Now, why is he talking bad about Katy?
He said, when I got divorced, I considered becoming a monk. When you're a monk, you're not allowed to have sex with anyone. When you're married, it's one person. That's one more than a monk, so it's not that different. I'd be having sex thinking, think of anyone else, he said, about having sex with Katy Perry.
Really?
Yeah.
Think of anyone else?
Anyone else.
Gee, wonder why she divorced him.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's his problem, not hers.
Well, he's got all kinds of issues.
Yeah. Of course you would.
We've known that from
the woman. Yeah. You have to believe that in order to keep from hanging yourself from your shower rod at home. We know how that rolls. We don't blame you. Do whatever you have to do to keep going. That's what we say.
Thanks for the support, Ralph.
You're welcome. Simon Cowell, was he trapped into this fatherhood? Was this a plot from this Lauren Silverman to ensnare billionaire Simon Cowell?
His first comment, wasn't his first comment that she told him she was on birth control?
I hadn't heard that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe I read it on TMZ or something. I don't know.
Well, his girlfriends are all saying that. His ex-girlfriends, Sunita, Jackie St. Clair, Terry Seymour. He's one of these guys, apparently, who has friendships with his with his girlfriends after they break up.
He gives them houses.
Well, that's true. He does do that. they claim that they were all worried when he started hooking up with this Lauren Silverman because they were suspect about her intentions.
Ah.
And they believed something just like this could happen, and then it came to pass. So maybe the moral of the story is listen to your ex-girlfriends.
I don't think that's the moral of the story.
The one that you're thinking about anyone else when you were having sex with them earlier.
Fire beer mug.
It's not beer mug's fault. You know, with all this talk about Lindsay Lohan and Amanda Bynes and all the girls who are off the rails, no one's keeping an eye on Rihanna, and I think she's the one who's going to show up first.
Oh, really?
Floating face down in the Caribbean someplace.
Why would you say that?
Because all she does is party. All she does is ingest every drug and every kind of alcohol she can get her hands on.
I never knew that.
Oh, constantly. It's all she does. This time she was in Barbados last Friday. Apparently she was just loaded, according to witnesses, and doing some serious dirty dancing with other women.
All right.
She tweeted the next morning that she woke up covered in paint and a veil. And has no idea how it happened. It's so funny. Kevin woke up the same way in Chicago this past week.
People who drink that much should be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Rihanna said she may be changing her name to Eve W. Ladbat. On the part of us. Everybody part of us. Kelly Rowland. Speaking of music news, she, of course, of Destiny's Child. Did you know she was almost lost at sea forever?
No.
She went whale watching with some friends, and the boat ended up lost at sea for over 10 hours.
Oh my God.
Lost power, and they were just adrift in the ocean.
That seems bad.
She,
I don't know boating, but that seems bad.
It is bad. She and her party were lost at sea, and she said God saved her.
God saved her.
She prayed for 2 bars of cell phone service from God, and God gave it to her, and she was able to call the Coast Guard, and they came off the coast of Massachusetts and picked her up and saved her and her party.
But God had nothing to do with the boat losing power in the first place and her being adrift for 10 hours.
You know, I would thank the Coast Guard more than I would thank God in that given situation.
And AT&T or whoever her provider is.
No, God gave her the cell phone service. God gave her two bars. Couldn't God have given her all five bars since he's God?
Yeah, you'd seem like, why be skimpy if you're God?
All right, I'll give you two. That's it.
I'm not going three.
I'm busy making thunder. 27-foot boat they were in had to endure 5 to 10 foot swells, and they were in danger of capsizing the whole time.
Wow,
that sounds bad.
That's not fun, and
that should not happen. Don't do that. And lastly, we've got a real life celebrity Romeo and Juliet on our hands.
We do.
Yep, Kylie Jenner and Jaden Smith.
Oh,
yeah.
How sweet.
The daughter of Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner,
right.
Kylie, when she's one of these, she's the unattractive of the two younger ones.
Okay.
Well, not unattractive. Not as hot as your sister one.
Okay.
That's the one I call her. Jaden Smith, of course, you know him. Here's the deal. Apparently, Kylie's parents, Kris Jenner, reportedly approves of the relationship. What a surprise.
Yeah.
She would approve of her daughter dating a wildly successful, rich...
Just a minute. Is he successful and famous?
Yes.
Okay, then I'm in.
However, Will and Jada... are telling Jaden that the Kardashians, a connection with the Kardashians, could hurt his movie career and that he should end the relationship. To which I say, if it can hurt his movie career, you keep on dating her. You keep right on dating her. How about the fact that he has no talent? Could that hurt his movie career?
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's the coolest and 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 the
coolest. Might hurt his rap career too. Today's celebrity birthday is Adrienne Curry's 31 years old today. She's lovely. Marissa Miller, another model actress, is 35 years old. Melissa George, lovely and talented actress, is 37. Soleil Moon Frye, Punky Brewster. She just gets one bell now since her breast.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. She committed a crime against nature.
That's right. Vera Farmiga is 40 years old. Jason O'Mara, 41. Jerry Howell, Ginger Spice of the legendary Spice Girls, is 41 years old as well. M. Night Shyamalan is 43. Randy DeBarge of the legendary group DeBarge celebrates his 55th birthday today. Still no DeBarge love, huh? Can't get him. There we go. Uh-huh.
Beer Mug is your friend. I told him not to get it. He got it anyway.
We're going to play this at the Bachelorette dance party.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. Once Biggs gets in here, we're going to dance. We're going to talk Bachelorette.
What are we going to do for the next half hour, Bean?
We're going to bring in
Jason
Biggs.
We just lost our guest. We don't have a guest.
Star of the brand new hit show, Orange is the New Black. And we're going to bring him in and we're going to talk Bachelorette.
That's not going to happen.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So true, man. Hey, Bean, tell Jason that I'm no longer friends with him.
You tell Jason I'm not speaking to him either.
I'm not speaking to him either. Lisa, will you tell him that neither of us are speaking to him?
Neither of them are speaking to you.
What about you, Lisa?
You are dead to them.
Wait, what about you?
Yeah, I'm speaking to you, Jason. That's all that really matters.
Lisa still loves me.
Yeah.
Kev, really? It's come to this?
Well, why does the Bachelorette have to be the turd in the punch bowl? We were so looking forward to having you coming in and spending a good quality 30 minutes talking about Orange is the New Black, and now all
First of all, let me ask you something. Have you ever tried punch with a turd in it? Because it ain't as bad as you think.
That's
I feel like there's a negative connotation you're putting there.
I haven't. We are taking that for granted.
You know?
Yeah.
Try it. Try my punch.
That's an assumption.
Try my punch.
I would rather not if you don't mind.
Make a note. Not going to a party in Big
Sound. Neither Bean and I watches the Bachelorette. And Ralph forces this recap on us, which we did a half hour ago. So covered?
Well, no.
Done.
We haven't got Jason's perspective
on it
yet.
We don't need that. We want to talk about Orange is the New Black.
Jason, why do you care who this whore dates or doesn't date?
Honestly,
why do you care?
Well, listen, it's just pure comedy. It is because it's the unintentional comedy that makes it so brilliantly funny. These people are ridiculous. I mean, these are Oh, gosh. It's literally these jokes write themselves, you guys.
Okay, I would agree with you. I would agree with you, Jason.
Right.
That you're watching ironically and that you're having a laugh.
Well,
except that Ralph comes in week after week and goes, yeah, I teared up a little bit last night. And that's not just laughing.
And it's 2 hours.
That's buying into the BS.
It actually, last night was 3 hours. But anyway, I have an admission to make. I have Kevin is leaving the room. Kevin is literally leaving the room right now. Kev, come back, Kevin.
Well, I gotta be that way.
Oh, boo. Kevin has left the studio.
You'll notice the show isn't much different.
I would like to, I will point out that it started out for material to tweet about, and that is still the case. However, I have found myself, much like Ralph, getting a little bit invested. Yesterday during Dez's speech to Chris,
yes,
you know, her admission, like, oh my God, I was, you know, like I was blinded and didn't see you the whole time.
Yeah.
I got some goose pimples. I started to take the journey? Listen, I don't know if the bus was there. I saw it. I don't know that I got on, but I looked at it and waved at it as it went on. But, you know, I was close to getting on.
It was a moment.
But can we talk about Dez, the corpse that is Dez?
Oh, come on. You're not a Dez fan?
No.
She's adorable.
But she's boring as hell,
She's not a bright girl.
Listen,
yeah,
brightness.
Who needs that?
No. Yeah, no one. Tell me someone that has ever graced the television screen during those 2 hours.
I hate to interrupt, guys. I'm just gonna step out. So I'll see you guys.
All right.
Bean too.
Yeah. That's okay. So you were saying
Ralph
Dez,
still here? Okay.
Dez is boring in your opinion?
Dez is boring. Yes.
Why? Why do you think she's boring?
She's just like there's nothing there. It's just vacant and just kind of like nothing. No real personality. And towards the end of the season, maybe she started to come alive a little bit. But I mean, that pulse was beating slow still.
At that point, you would know. I mean, after all this time, whatever was there would have come out, even accidentally.
I think maybe Brooks realized he couldn't love her because of the personality vacuum.
Can I tell you, I love last week that Brooks came out and was like, listen, you know what? I can't do this because no one ever expected. She didn't expect it. No one at home expects it. They just go, oh, these guys, they're in it to win it. And they win it. Maybe they get the girl, but they want the fame. They have to, like, no one would ever expect it. But he's
and most of them even fake it. If they don't feel it, they fake it and go through with the engagement.
I, you know what? I was actually like, because I was making fun of him a lot during the season with everyone I was. But he was a big target. And I was like, man.
Hey, are you girls finished?
No, not yet.
Not yet, no.
And I was like, good for Brooks. And then last night there were all these rumors before the show because I watched the West Coast feed. I don't have the Ralph Garman hookup over here. And I was hearing these rumors that Brooks comes back. And I actually, in my head too, kind of wrote out the finale being that Brooks comes back and she takes him back and the whole thing. And I was like, if he does that, he's such a puss. I'm going to be so mad. And he didn't. And that didn't happen. And I was psyched. But, you know, can we discuss how many of those guys play for the other team?
Yeah,
really?
Drew is sexually confused at best, right?
Oh, a lot of them are sexually confused. And actually, I don't even know confused. I think they knew exactly what they want to get down and dirty
with. But Biggs, you get a chance to live in a house with 25 other guys if
that's
you're on the Bachelorette,
true. No,
right?
You know what? You make a good point.
Perfect cover.
You get to go frolic among hibiscus in Antigua.
That's right.
You're absolutely right.
Group
All right, Kev. Bean.
All right, Kev, we're done, guys.
Come on in, guys.
Right, we're good.
Fantastic.
One more thing I forgot about.
That's right. Juan Pablo. We haven't covered Juan
Pablo.
Pablo.
So he tweeted at me last night.
What?
Yeah, Juan Pablo and I have a thing.
Hey, turn his mic on.
Oh, you suck.
Biggs had interaction with Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo.
You're one.
Hey, Dick.
Hey, Jason Biggs is here. We're going to talk Orange is the New Black. Where we return right after this with the world famous camera.
106.7 K-Rock.
Hey!
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 Hey! It's the world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. The ugliness is behind us. Jason Biggs is in the studio to talk about a good TV show.
Oh, I'm so glad Ralph finally got out of the studio. Who's dragging
you
down. Bogarting my interview like that. Talking about Bachelorette crap.
Like, who cares about that, right? We're men, right?
Unbelievable. Jesus.
Orange is the New Black is a show that you have been hearing a lot about because it is one of the new shows on Netflix. Just like we talked about House of Cards a few months ago, This is another all-original show that can only be seen on Netflix. And this is kind of weird where we're at in show business, Jason Biggs, because it's not on week to week, so there's never a time where you can talk about it where you're not going to spoil it for somebody, I guess.
That is a true story. Yeah, and especially – yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, just, I think I was going to say the same thing as you, because people just jump in. There are people who are going to be starting watching it this weekend. There are people who are going to be starting watching it in a year. It doesn't matter because it has no season.
Exactly. And that's the advantage and the potential disadvantage. It's a great thing, you know, because we don't, you know, Netflix doesn't adhere to these sort of standard metrics, which is fantastic for us in terms of, you know, we don't have to perform to a certain number at a certain time in order to stay, you know, be deemed a quote unquote success. You know, we got a season two pickup before the first season ever even aired because they were simply a fan of the show and they had confidence
right.
in it.
Oh, that's cool.
However, you know, like you said, it's spoilers may abound, and especially in this Twitter age, you know, it's an ongoing risk as we go down the road here.
Give us an Orange is the New Black 101 for folks who are just, it's just not on their radar yet.
Okay, well, it's Orange is the New Black. It's, like you said, it's a one-hour show on Netflix, and it's based on a true story about this woman, Piper Kerman, who, along with myself, she and I were just a yuppie couple living in Brooklyn, engaged to be married, and she gets sent to prison for 15 months, federal penitentiary, to serve a sentence for a crime that she committed right after college. She was involved in a drug smuggling.
Like 10 years before.
And you know nothing about it.
I knew nothing about it. This is before. It was never on my radar. This was sort of a previous chapter of her life entirely. She's ostensibly moved past it. Everything is gone. And
it was also the tacos not steak chapter of her life, too, if you remember.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That was linguine with clam sauce, not spaghetti bolognese.
Now, did you and Taylor, who plays your fiancé on the show, did you meet the real people and spend some time with them? These people that actually lived through this and are still together, as I understand.
Yeah, they are. They're still together and they have a kid, which is great. It gives me and my character hope for the show. I'm always like, God, where do I go with this? But it's like, okay, all right, I know they're together. Yes, we did meet them, and you know, Taylor more than myself, I think, you know, sort of, you know, used the real Piper. You know, she was a valuable resource. And the real Piper, I mean, this is her story. She wrote a memoir that we've adapted, that Jenji Kohan from Weeds adapted. I had no part of the idea. As much as I would like to
take
credit.
You're the reason I watched it.
Well, you know what? Then that's all that matters, all right. Kevin. Thank you. she was very involved, and I know Taylor, you know, used her as a source of information, and they were close. But, yeah, I met the real Larry a couple of times. Great guy. You know,
who's better looking?
Obviously me. Okay. I think that sort of me.
Was he?
I'm surprised you had to ask.
Yeah. Truthfully, was he disappointed to find out that Jason Biggs will be portraying him on the series?
Or was he
thinking, wow, that's a great choice and I couldn't be happier that that's my on-screen guy?
Well, Bean, that is kind of a dicky question. And I can say, though, with confidence, because I did talk to him about, because I needed to serve my ego. I was like, hey, man, what'd you think? He unsolicited said that when he found out that it was going to be me, he was really psyched that he was a fan of mine. But then I got a second round of compliments, which was after he had seen me playing him, he was like, man, you know, I really think you're nailing it. Like, it's and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not trying to do you,
right?
But awesome. It's a happy accident, I guess. This is great. You know what it is? My instincts are just so incredible.
That's it. You're acting.
Right. You know, I don't even need to try. I met the guy once. Yeah. You know.
So what's it like? What was it like for him? And tell me how you're playing a guy whose fiance is gone. You see her for a few minutes a week when you have time to visit, and she's on the inside and living completely different life from your life from yours. How do you keep a relationship like that together? That's the big question, right?
Yeah, Bean, that is the question. I, you know, I think about this in my life terms, and you know, I initially go to, you know, like, oh, a little break, you know.
Look, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. You know? I was thinking, I don't know that I'm that good a person. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I really am not sure.
Yeah, like if she's gone for for a month, that's one thing. If she's gone for 15, like how do you live your life like that?
Yeah, here's the question. You know, like if Jenny, my wife, okay, you know, I get blindsided, and one day feds show up to our door, and they're like, Jenny, you're coming with us, 15 months, gonzo. And I'm like, WTF?
Right.
What is this about? Like, what? Okay, now, there would be the initial, like, oh, my God, like, what did you, crime did you commit that, like, is it bad enough that it's, like,
should I be worried
right. about your criminal past?
Like who you
okay.
are.
Now, in this case,
depending on what the crime is, do I still feel the same way about you based
right.
on what you did? Because now you're getting into a moral issue.
Exactly. Well, here's the other issue, I believe. There's then a third issue, which is, why didn't you tell me about this?
Yeah. How about a heads up?
How about a heads up? So there's this deception aspect, right? Like, not a lie, but, you know, a hidden truth. Why didn't you tell me? So if that was the case, it's like, what is going on? So there's a few layers here. And listen, Larry's situation, my character in the show, he's in a really tough spot. And for me, that was really fun to play because – and that's part of the sort of tension as the show goes on between Piper and Larry, which is Larry sees himself as a victim in all of this, which he is, you know?
It's understandable, yeah.
And, you know, Piper sees herself as – she's like, you're the victim. I'm in prison. What are you talking – you know? But it's like it's her own doing. So it's – you know, it's really interesting. Long story short, I don't know what I would do. I'd probably be banging other chicks if Jenny was 15 months. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
14 months and under, I'd be.
You have to draw the line.
You got to draw the line somewhere. You know,
Jason Biggs is here. We're talking about his series "Orange Is the New Black" that is available from Netflix. I'm sure you have been seeing the reviews. They have been rapturous about your show, about the writing, about this cast. I mean, a lot of these ladies on the show that play the prisoners that Piper's in jail with, I've not seen before, but oh my God, are they great? Like every one of them deserves a spinoff.
They're amazing. I mean, literally, it's like one of the most incredible casts assembled.
Right, we need to take a break, but
okay.
But can you stick around for one more?
Hell yeah!
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about the cast and some more. Orange is the New Black. It's a brand new show on Netflix. Jason Biggs is.
Let's be honest. A lot of us were surprised that Jason Biggs got work again, but he is on Orange is the New Black.
No one more than me, dude.
I heard he was up for Sharknado. Is that right?
Just missed out to Ion Zero. Well, they just felt felt like two American Pie people in the same production would be a little too. It would throw the credibility of the project totally off base.
I really, really want people to sign up for Netflix if they don't already have it and get this Orange is the New Black. So I just want to mention just real quickly before we get in Ralph Showbiz beat here that it is a phenomenal cast. So many great actresses playing the prisoners on this show. Your co-star Taylor Schilling is just incredible as Piper Chapman.
Yep.
Laura Prepon, all grown up from that 70s show, is great as Alex. I mean, she is sexy and dangerous. And how about, speaking of the pie movies, how about Natasha Lyonne? This is the best thing she's done in forever too.
Natasha is fantastic, and she's personally just fantastic. Like, she's just great, and
she's healthy now. She's good.
She's obviously an old friend, and she's an old woman. She's really old, man. She's great. She couldn't be healthier. Couldn't be better. But the whole cast, man, is just like so great, and everyone's so different and talented and beautiful, and like it really, and they all had all these, they're written so well, and Taryn Manning, we were just talking about, I think she's brilliant as Pensatucky. I think, you know, Taylor's gonna win all kinds of awards and deservingly so, and it's just really cool to be a part of something like this.
And lots of boobies, you guys.
And
so that's the
lots
extra
of lesbian action. Yes.
It's a women's prison. Yeah.
And lots of boobies. None more than mine.
All right, that's Orange is the New Black on Netflix.
I think we had people right till then.
Sorry.
Drove them away.
Right till that moment.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat with Mr. Biggs sitting in with us.
Yes. Before we get into the Showbiz, should we place a little wager for the upcoming NFL season?
I would love that, Mr. Garman.
Famously, Eagles, of course, Jason and I had a bet one season about who would have the better record at the end of the season, the Eagles or the Giants. Lifelong rivals, those two teams. And the one year we bet, the Eagles came out on top, I'm just saying.
They did.
Biggs ended up washing my car dressed as an Eagles cheerleader.
This is true.
And he paid off.
And
he did. He showed up and he did it.
We did it.
You're a man of your word.
Might I propose...
We took some years off when the Giants won all the Super Bowls.
How convenient for you.
Funny how that works. Yeah. Well, we're back again this season. Now that we're here and it's right around the corner. preseason has started.
Might I throw a wrinkle into that? What if we did head to head? There's two, obviously, every year two games.
Right.
What if we did head to head, and then if they split, we do best record at the end of the regular season as the tiebreaker.
Right, that sounds fair.
As opposed to just being the best record, because what if Giants go 2-0, crush your Eagles, but then at the end of the year the Eagles still have the better record? I still have bragging rights over you.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
So what if we do head to head with the tiebreaker being best record?
I like that.
Okay.
Right.
So then now,
what's the payoff?
What are the terms? Yeah. I liked what we did last time because I got a nice new car and I would love to see you wearing a Giants shirt. I would love that.
Should
and
we
now,
go again?
And
Look,
now,
I'm,
and
I'm
I don't think
that.
We had Twitter back then. So now
true.
It'll be way blasted. We're gonna blast the hell out of this thing.
All right, I like it.
You
okay,
like it?
We're on.
So deal.
All
right,
deal.
We're on. We're on.
We're on.
Good. All right, I like it.
Good time. Both Biggs and I think just like dressing up as cheerleaders too. I think that's there's an extra bonus for us in that. So
depending on how you look in the cheerleader outfit, Ralph, there may be a role for you on Orange Is the New Black.
That's true. I think in the sense dressed as a cheerleader, I would look like Coach Beast from Glee.
Right.
Yeah. Was it Dot Marie Jones or whatever her name is? I think in the sense that's what I would look like as a woman.
Jason looked pretty good.
He did look pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's talk showbiz news. This is the best news since Juan Pablo got tapped to be The Bachelor last night.
Yes.
R. Kelly has announced that new chapters of Trapped in the Closet are right around the corner. Yeah. I don't know if you follow the Trapped in the Closet saga or not, Jason.
I fill me in a little.
It is absurd.
It is a rap opera by R. Kelly, who has done how many chapters now? Is
40?
40, over 40 chapters. He tells an ongoing story. It's like a soap opera, only he does it in the form of rap, and he plays the majority of all the characters, and it is a tour de force. Right?
Wow. Is one chapter dedicated to golden showers?
I don't believe so, no.
Can I play a little for
you? But there was a midget who had an affair with a cop's wife behind his back, and he found the midget trapped under the sink in the cabinet.
In this story,
and then, I'm in.
And then he finds the midget, and he pulls the midget out, and the midget soiled his pants because he was so scared, and he pooped himself.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. Can I play a little R. Kelly Trapped in the Closet? How many more chapters is he going to do?
Let's see. He does not promise how many. He just says at least one new chapter is only a couple months away, and then more will be following.
Pastor Rufus Lones comes home to find his wife been sleeping around with Sylvester. Oh, Sylvester's cell phone rings. He comes out of the closet pointing his Beretta. Oh, then they go through this thing arguing, fussing, and time goes by. And then Kathy finds out about Rufus' lover Chuck, the gay guy. Oh, and then Sylvester calls home, never knowing that a man would answer his phone. What? Oh, then he got to his house, bust up in it to find his wife, Gwendolyn. She was around with this sausage-headed policeman. And then they got into a fight, wrestling over a gun. The wind screaming stopped, next thing you know, they shot her brother, Twan. He barely hurt, now here come Rose, the nosy neighbor. She thinks she's the neighborhood savior. And then things got real twisted. Police got home in his kitchen to find his wife, Bridget. Is pregnant by this midget.
All right, so you got that going on.
Bridget was pregnant by the midget. Yeah.
And Jason, that song goes on for over an hour.
Oh, my God.
And there's no chorus or anything. Nothing. He just tells just him, the story
and
over
and then he showed up with the gun.
Yes.
And then he shot that midget for fun.
There's 40 chapters, and there's a video for every single one.
It's all video.
Oh, my God.
You need to get the DVD
Homeboy's
and watch it.
Homeboy's got some time on
you
his
get
hands,
the DVD.
Huh? Is he in prison doing this?
No, he's out, and he thinks it's his gift to the world.
I will warn you this. Yeah. Once you start watching it, you will finish it.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no other option.
That's right.
I might say the same about Orange is the New Black. On Netflix, check your local listings.
Nicely done.
Wow. I have to check my local listings for Netflix?
You know what, Ralph?
I know where Netflix is.
Ralph,
why do I have to check my local listings?
Check your local computer. Just check yourself. Just check yourself, Ralph.
I wreck myself? Simon Cowell, was he trapped into this pregnancy? That's what his friends are saying. They knew what her intentions were all along, say some of his ex-girlfriends, who were just bitter because Simon didn't put a baby in them. That's what I'm guessing. Lauren Silverman, wife of Simon Cowell's best friend, Andrew Silverman, is pregnant with his baby. He has no intention of marrying her, according to close friends, but he will make sure the baby is cared for by putting the baby on X Factor to see if they can win some prize money.
As a judge.
Got an in. And
the baby throws up. That's a no vote.
That's right. Big X comes out. Oprah Winfrey She's posted some video of her forthcoming interview with Lindsay Lohan. Apparently, New York Post has the clip. You can check it out on their website. Oprah starts off the interview by asking Lindsay point blank, "Are you an addict?" What a waste of a question. You could have asked me that, and I could have answered it for Oprah. You wouldn't need to go through sitting down with Lindsay. She also says, "What does it feel like to be both an adjective and an adverb? Excuse me, not an adverb, a verb for a child star gone wrong?"
Oh, she's bringing it.
Interview airs Sunday, August the 18th. You can check it out if you want.
Did Lindsay cry? Do we know yet?
I don't know. I'm sure she does.
With her new face, you can't really tell if she's crying.
Right. She just looks like she's leaking more than crying. It's just sort of...
Jason, do you you run in young Hollywood circles? You know Lindsay Lohan at all?
I met her pre this crap.
Craziness.
Pre meltdown.
Yeah, I met her when she was, you know, probably still a teenager, I think. Like post Freaky Friday. You know,
she was pretty. She was a good actress.
Pretty, yeah. Good actress. Yeah. Sweet. You know, and I haven't.
She you meets
know.
You and goes.
Yeah,
downhill.
She, yeah, it was. I have the Midas touch.
When you say you met Lindsay, did you? You know.
Oh no! I mean, I banged her. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
I'll make sure we got that.
I wasn't
clear.
Sure. Man. So thank you.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Travis McCoy of Gym Class Heroes is 32 years old today. A couple model actresses are celebrating their birthdays. Adrienne Curry, she was the winner of America's Next Top Model. Apparently an ironically named show because she's not a top model. She's 31 years old. Model actress Marissa Miller is 35 years old today. TV producer Josh Schwartz, who gave us the OC. And that's enough, really, for any one man.
That's true.
37 years old today. Actress Melissa George is 37. Soleil Moon Frye, Punky Brewster, is 37 years old today. Did you ever meet Punky Brewster?
Yes, I have.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have met Soleil Brewster. She's married to Jason Goldberg, who's Kutcher's partner in crime. Not love partner, because he's... Because Goldberg is Punky Moon Frye's love partner.
All right, I'm sorry.
Would you like to withdraw the question?
I would, Your Honor. That's right.
It's a good story, though, Jason.
Thanks, guys. I've got more where that came from.
Vera Farmiga from Bates Motel. I can't wait for that show to come back.
That's
I'm
good.
Loving that show.
Ask me if I've met her.
I will not. Oh. Jason O'Mara, very talented actress, 41 years old. Ginger Spice from the Spice Girls. Jerry Halliwell is 41 years old. M. Night Shyamalan, 43. And Randy DeBarge of the legendary band DeBarge celebrates his 55th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, guys.
Always great to have you on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you, I guess, at the end of the football season when you guys have to pay off.
When you're in a skirt.
You guys have to pay off.
Well, you will be wearing the Giants cheerleader outfit. I might still be in a skirt.
That's true.
But you will definitely lose that bet.
Check out Netflix for Orange is the New Black. That is the project that Jason is in and is fantastic. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have comedian Adam Ray. We have Corey Taylor, who's written a book. Very exciting. In the studio, we have Adam Carolla. We have Charlton Copley. I don't think I've ever said his name correctly.
I don't believe you have either.
He is the director, of course, of Elysium.
He is not a director of Elysium. He is one of the stars of Elysium.
He's one of the stars of Elysium.
Neil Blomkamp, who did, of course, District 9, that Charlton Copley was a star of also, is
I fed Kevin bad information, Rob.
I will accept your apology now, Bean.
He's not a director at all. He's one of the stars. He was in the A-Team also.
All right!
I'm just saying, not the director of Elysium.
So he directed Elysium.
Did not. I'm trying to make a point is that he was not the director of Elysium.
We were doing a promo thing for tomorrow's show, and I was like, he's the star of, and Beans goes, right. No,
not the director at all. Incorrect. That would be wrong.
All right, star of.
Yes, Elysium. Yes. Yeah, one of the stars of.
All
one
right.
of Matt Damon and Jodie Foster.
Good. Yeah. Kick-Ass 2, we have those tickets, and we have Nick Offerman on the program tomorrow from Warren Miller.
Nice.
So check that out. Jason, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see everybody tomorrow.